Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
So here's the story. I'm living near the water. I have a small cottage right next to San Francisco Bay. It's one of the places I live in. I have a dog, an 11-pound poodle named Teddy. All right? So he walks around on a deck which has no glass on it, and he looks at boats and whatever, he, you know, walks out. Never jumped in the water. Never. I never knew he would do. Now, there's a man who swims by every day. He's a man in his 60s. He's extremely fit. He sails boats around the ocean. He's a great guy. I've gotten to know him casually as a neighbor, but the guy swims every morning from his house, like around the bend and around past my house to the next, you know, marina. And I see him going by, and sometimes I wave, and all you see are arms splashing, but he can see us, right? So I pay no attention to this. I leave the dog out on the deck. He's never done it before. And I go in the house, a phone call, a radio. I had no idea. I come back. There's no dog. So I start, Teddy, 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 no dog. Then I'm getting a little, where is he? I look at the side gate. Did he run around? Did he get out in the street? I'm in pajamas. I run out in the street. There's some neighbors up the street. I said, did you see my dog? No, we've been here 10 minutes. No dog. So I get the chilling feeling in my guts that he fell in the bay and he's dead. And I said, I'm being punished by God. This is the way life is. I still have this view of the world that just when something good happens, something bad is taken, something good is taken from me. I said, God, don't do this to me, please. Don't do this. Don't take my beloved dog from me. Please, God, I hope he's not dead. And I really went through that moment. I said, I cannot believe this. Just as I felt so liberated and wound up with the best syndicator in the world, Cumulus, with great, a great future here and wonderful people, I thought the dog was dead. I'm in a panic, don't know which way to go. And I call Mrs. S., who was in another location. She said, oh, my God. So she's going to jump in the car. I don't know what she thinks she's going to do, and she's going to run down here, look for him from work. Because, my show is so late in the day. I mean, to me, day is night, and night is day. It's a long day's journey into night. Anyway, 2 minutes later, out of the water, looking like a wharf rat, comes my poodle who has long fur. He's not a trim poodle. He looks like a little teddy bear. Soaking wet, covered with algae, mud on his feet, looking like a kid, like a Tom Sawyer. Like, Dad, I'm sorry I had to do it. I couldn't help it. He looked at me sheepishly like, well, okay. So what the heck? Get in here. I didn't get mad at him. I put a blanket over him. I talked to him nicely like you would a kid who ran away and came home. Right, Teddy? Yes. And then I washed him, you know, and wrapped him in a towel. About 30 minutes later, the swimming man comes back down the street wearing his Speedo bathing suit. He likes to walk through the street. And he comes up and he says to me, where's that dog of yours? He says, I thought that dog was a poof dog. He said, that dog has some you-know-whats on him. My God. I said, what do you mean? Did he fall in the water? He said, no, he didn't fall in the water. He said, he saw me going by, and he jumped in the water to rescue me. He said, remember, poodle comes from the German breed of puddle, poodle dog. They're water dogs. And he said they're rescue dogs. He wanted to retrieve me and save me. I said, well, how do you know that? He said, because he swam out to me. I never knew he could swim. He swam out to me in this cold bay, the dog, looked me in the eye, and then paddled back to the shore, ran along the rocks to get ahead of me in the arc of my motion, jumped back in the water, swam up to me, looked me in the eye, then diagonally ran back to the rock, swam back to the rocks, ran along the rocks, swam back, blah, 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 so forth and so on in a zigzag pattern, all the way to the end of the jetty. I said, you must be joking. He said, well, look at his feet. Did he cut his feet? Because he ran all the way back on these sharp rocks. So we looked at his feet, and he didn't cut his feet. And that's the story of Teddy. Can you believe it? And I have to turn it back to my book, Train Tracks. I allege in my book, Train Tracks, that all of us in our destinies, all of us in our destiny are on a train, and we're on train tracks in our destiny. Only many of us don't know it. We're miserable, we're depressed, we're sad, we're lost, we're lonely, we want this, we want that. We don't realize that's our destiny. The train track you are on is your destiny. Now, you can get off that train and you can go on to another set of tracks, but my point is that we are all on a set of train tracks, and those train tracks are our life. It's a story. It's a journey. And Teddy, and a story I just told you, will, if God has it, if I ever write another book of memoirs, will be in the next book.
I get a lot of takeout food, lunch, dinner, because I have a lot of trouble in restaurants, except for the few that I know the owners, and they give me private room or whatever to be alone. I basically don't like to be looked at when I eat. I don't like to look at others when I eat. I'd rather watch television when I eat than do anything else. Otherwise, I feel like it's a waste of time. Unless it's a business dinner, and which I don't have because I can't eat if I'm doing business. See, I don't understand. How can a person digest food while discussing money or a deal? It's almost impossible. They're mutually exclusive. Food is supposed to be around a relaxed setting. Otherwise, you wind up with irritable bowel syndrome, or you wind up looking like an average American. So I eat a lot of takeout food. And, you know, many of us fear the Chinese government and this and that. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. But what you don't know is that they've actually given all of us certain survival tools that they're not even aware of through their cuisine. Every house that I go into has a drawer filled with chopsticks that no one uses, hundreds and hundreds of them, thousands of packages of soy sauce, which if in an emergency you could live on, and little packages with napkins, a knife, a fork, and a spoon. Now, what could you use this for? I'm saying in an emergency. You've basically got survival food from your Chinese restaurant. Every house I go into, I don't care if it's a mansion, I don't care if it's a one-bedroom house, there's a drawer in that house, if you open it, thousands of packages of Kiko Man soy sauce, hundreds if not thousands of wooden chopsticks that people hate to use because they don't want splinters with stomach cancer, but they save them anyway, which is perfect to kindling for a fire if the electric grid should go down. So ready we have heat, we can burn the chopsticks. Then we have Kiko Man soy sauce, which, of course, is disgusting to eat by itself. But believe me, if you had to, take a look at how good the Japanese did on Saipan with a handful of rice and soy sauce. And then, of course, we got the fork, knife, and spoon and the napkin, so you can be a Boy Scout. So you see, you've got everything you need in the drawer, all provided by your takeout restaurant. And that's why I'm having fun today, because I decided at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You get what I'm saying?
Savage.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized Wave Ventilation Unit. Wave Ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave Ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
KSFO update. Breaking news from Washington. According to a Senate Democratic aide, the White House and the GOP have reached a deal on the fiscal cliff. Checking traffic in Vallejo, westbound 80 at Tennessee. Injury crash has been moved to the shoulder, but backed up nearly to Highway 37. Traffic building at the Bay Bridge tolls with New Year's Eve revelers is backed up to the foot of the maze. Some slowing heading from Sausalito, southbound 101. You're on the brakes from the Waldo to the Golden Gate Bridge. Right now in San Francisco, it's 49 degrees. Paul Carter, KSFO.
Is your financial advisor putting his money where his mouth is? Too many financial advisors tell their client to buy investments that they would never invest in themselves. In fact, Morningstar has revealed that only 47% of U.S. stock fund managers personally own the funds they manage. More than half the fund managers don't invest their own money into the funds where you're supposed to put your life savings. Is the story the same for the person giving you investment advice? Well, ask your financial advisor if he's invested his own money in the same funds he's told you to buy. At O'Donnell Financial Group, they personally own the same investments that they recommend to their clients. That's how they've done it since 1987. For a free portfolio review and analysis, call 866-496-2300 or visit them online at O'donnellFinancialGroup.com. That's 866-496-2300.
Securities, financial planning, and advisory services are offered through Financial Telesis, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. O'Donnell Financial Group, LLC, and Financial Telesis, Inc. are not affiliated.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit att.com/enhancedptt3 to get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby 3. You pushed to talk, we pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Limited time offer. Free phone on new activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk service.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
The SFPD reminds you that red always means stop.
Hi, this is San Francisco Police Chief Greg Sir. Each and every day, red light runners in San Francisco create a clear and present danger to other motorists, bicyclists, and pedestrians in San Francisco. When caught, you can face a hefty fine and put your driving privilege at risk. A red traffic light is not a suggestion. It means stop. Let's all commit to stopping at red lights to keep our community safe.
A public service of the San Francisco Police Department and this Cumulus radio station.
If talk radio came with a warning label, listen before it does. On the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
You know, I have a long-running joke on the Savage Nation that you can see the world through a meatball. That when America was great in the 1950s, the meatballs were large and tasty and fluffy. And as the years went on and we became more and more socialistic, the meatballs became smaller and meaner, until they were devoid of any taste, and they were very tiny, like Swedish meatballs. And people have always loved that. But I'm changing the metaphor now to America is like a stuffed pepper. And that's why I'm talking about... I'm talking about because I cooked them last night. But you want to hear something funny? I don't eat a great deal of meat. I mean, everyone... I love how they talk today like it's a moral imperative. I don't eat red meat. Oh, I haven't eaten red meat in 30 years. I said, so what? What, do you want a prize? You ever see these people walking around? I haven't touched red meat in 33 years. Great. Well, what do you want, a halo? What do I care if you ate red meat or not? They walk around like it's a religious experience, not having red meat. Now, the fact of the matter is, I've eaten a very little red meat over the last 35 years, but I take enormous quantities of ascorbic acid, known to you as vitamin C, pyridoxine, known to you as vitamin B6, and vitamin E in megadoses, because the schmucks who are doing other studies proving to you that vitamin E doesn't work are using a single kind of vitamin E in a very low dose in order to prove that you only need medications such as the deadly Lipitor or Lipitor-like poisons that destroy your neuromuscular system. Anyway, to get back to what I was talking about, I like to cook. So once in a while in the winter, I eat a lot of meat. I don't know. I get a craving when it gets cold for meat, so I make the stuffed pepper. It's low-fat meat, and animals that were going to, they went to Berkeley. They have a PhD before they're slaughtered. They all have a diploma. They were raised on cappuccinos, macchiatos with organically raised water. Anyway, the cow is in there, but I roll it in the, I chop up organic parsley, which is very important with meat. You have to spice the meat. I mean, the Greeks know what they're doing, and so do the Middle Easterners. Boy, I'll tell you, no one's better at meat than the Arabs. They know how to deal with meat. Many of you don't even understand that some of the Arabic cuisine is fantastic when it comes to meats, particularly the Persians. The Turks know how to cook meat. I'm afraid the Americans basically are a little too basic when it comes to meat. That way they throw the steak on a grill. It's unbelievable. Like heathens, everywhere you turn, they're just grilling meat. You know, we've gone out of the Bronze Age a while ago. But here's the weird part. I eat stuffed peppers. I drink a half a bottle of the Bordeaux wine. All right, fine. In the middle of the night, I'm dreaming that I'm eating a piece of meat that's about a foot long. It's in my hand. It's not lean steak. It's fatty. And I'm biting into it, and I can't get enough of it. What's that all about? What in the heck is the metaphor? Please don't call me as a dreaming out. Now I'm going to get somebody from Chattanooga who's a dream analyst to tell me you're dreaming, that you want to bite into the side of life. But, like, come on. You know, the fact is I'm just hungry for meat because it's cold out. I need the carnitine, and I need the iron. Most Americans don't realize that when they don't eat meat, they're actually getting an iron deficiency and a carnitine deficiency, which cannot be replaced with fish, incidentally. And I'm a lover of fish up to a point. I'm talking myself into dinner, right? I'm still sick from the lunch. That ADD lunch was so horrible. You know, when I eat a sugary lunch, I get sick for hours. It's as though I ate a candy apple. Who ever heard of Chinese food that tastes like a candy apple? Virginia, Sam, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, please, Dr. Savage. I want to compliment you on your recipes of food. I'm an ex-chef, and as a matter of fact, I'm Middle Eastern, too. And I know about me, about cooking. Everything is just perfect, whether it's Spanish rice, you give the recipe down to the perfection, honestly, or any other thing. But the stuffed pepper, because some people, they either slice it two halves, you know, like both halves, or...
No. I like to have the whole pepper hollowed out, take out the seeds, and then I put the cap back on it. I like to see it cooking with the cap on it.
That's a Middle Eastern way and Greek way, exactly.
Isn't that something? You see how I pick things up over the years? You hang around with enough Greeks, you learn how to cook. Peter, New York, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, how are you? Listen, I give you the recipe for stuffed peppers. You do the, just like you said, you saute the meat, salt and pepper to taste. You chop up some garlic. You get a sweet onion. You dice that up real small. You throw it in the meat. Saute that. You dump in seasoned breadcrumbs. Then you tweak the breadcrumbs with a little Parmesan or a little locatelli.
Well, okay, but that's good if... See, I don't eat cheese, so I skip the Parmesan cheese, which is a very easy way to make flavor happen in food. There's no question about it. And I'm not a big breadcrumb personality. I mean, I used rice. I bet you don't like the rice part of it, right?
The Sicilian type of a recipe that we learned to pass down through our family.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it. I just don't eat cheese because I get swelling in my hands and feet from any kind of cheese, so I don't eat it. I used to love it. I was an Italian cheese nut. In fact, I was recently in Beverly Hills with my family over the holidays, and they went to a cheese store on Rodeo Drive, of all places, stuck in between all these high-end clothing stores. There's an amazing cheese store. I mean, they bought like 10 cheeses inside. The dogs love cheese, incidentally.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm sorry. So do you use tomato sauce on your peppers?
You know, that's a part of whatever part of Italy you come from. You can mix a little sauce in. You could leave it full of, just the way you did it. You cut it, you clean out the inside, you shave the little top, you put some crushed tomatoes, some sauce in it. Or not. It depends what part of it.
That's right. All right, so let's say we've stuffed it, but I use chopped Italian parsley, number one, to get flavor it. I used a lot of paprika, number two, because it's winter. I love paprika. I don't even like it most of the year. So I stuffed the meat in. I did saute it with the garlic and the onion. Actually, I used the hot olive oil, then I put the garlic and onion in first until the onion was translucent. Then I added the meat that was already rolled in the parsley. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Those are different methods, that's all. Then I stuffed the thing with pre-cooked rice that I just made a few minutes before. And then I put it into the tray, a porcelain tray in a hot oven. But I did drizzle the tomato sauce, the tomato juice I used all over it. Okay, it didn't come out the way I wanted it. Let me put it to you that way, Pete. It didn't have the bite I wanted.
Well, Well, you were talking about in the New York Times cookbook, temperature settings. We always, I remember my mother. She used to open the thing, hey, it broke with the fork. It was done. And if it wasn't, she closed the door. I never remember what
that. Yeah, my mother, too. She always was testing. You see, that's the mark of a good cook. Today, they look at a book and a timer. It's like doctors today. They don't look at the patient. They look at a chart, and then they ask you to leave after 4.5 minutes. It's the same with fake chefs. Ersatz chefs don't even look at the food. They look at the timer. The mothers knew how to touch the food and smell the food and look at the food, right?
Yeah, and they knew if it was done or not. I don't think my mother ever, or my mother-in-law going way back, ever made a bad stuffed pepper.
All right, but what? Wait, here's the, but what temperature did she set the oven at, Pete?
Oh, I honestly, I could
See, the New York Times says 350 degrees. That's the, I would say that's the WASP way of cooking a pepper. But
yeah,
but the real way is to make it melt down. I mean, you got to use 500 degrees for an hour if you really want to get heat in there.
Well, if she did it at 350, she just left it in the oven longer. When she used to make sauce on Sunday, marinara or filetto pomodoro, she put it in at 6 o'clock, went to charge, and we ate at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The sauce was perfect every time.
How long did your mother how long did your mother live?
Well, she passed away 10 years ago. She was 81, but the last few years she was in a home.
That's sad. Yeah, I lost my mother at age 88, and my mother happened to have the worst diet in the history of humankind. I don't know how she did it. She violated every dietary law known to mankind. I don't know how she did it.
Yeah, I think it's part of it was genetics.
Well, I hope so. I pray to God, because my father left the earth and is in the arms of God. He left in 1970. I haven't had a father since I'm a very young man. He never met his grandchildren. You know, it's been awful having no father. But the fact is God will bless us. She went on forever. This woman loved heavy meats and this and that. But I did put her on vitamins back in 1970, you know. She was on a multi and certain other vitamins I put her on. I think that helped a lot. She also didn't drink, and she didn't smoke, to her credit.
Yeah, my mom, too. Didn't drink or smoke. My father died in 1970 also at 52. Too young.
Oh, my. So they were the same generation. Well, my dad smoked like a chimney. Philip Morris, that midget killed him. One of your guys, Johnny Ribeiro, I think was his name. I don't know his name. Something like that. The midget?
Yeah.
Call for Philip Morris. The guy who likes showgirls and, you know, powerboats out in Sheepshead Bay. But that's neither here nor there. But it was the cigarettes, I think. What took your father?
Leukemia.
Oh, my God. All right, look, Pete, a lot of it is a mystery. You know that. We don't know all the answers. All we can do is keep on plugging. You know what I mean?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names. Mm-hmm. They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call or go online to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-467-7530, 800-467-7530.
I'm Paul Carter, Hot Talk 560 KSFO. The Associated Press is reporting a Senate Democratic aide saying the White House and the GOP have reached a deal on the fiscal cliff. We don't yet know the specific details. Earlier, it was reported the White House and congressional Republicans had agreed to block across-the-board tax increases set for midnight, but they continue to haggle over spending cuts. A newspaper investigation finds the state agency that regulates alcohol sales has purchased more than $70,000 worth of bullet-resistant helmets and gas masks for its office. officers. Although the nature of their work rarely exposes them to gunfire, most of the arrests by Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control agents involved giving alcohol to minors. KSFO traffic. In Vallejo, westbound 80 at Tennessee, an injury crash has been moved to the shoulder, backed up to Highway 37. At the Bay Bridge tolls, backed up to the foot of the maze, and it's slow from Sausalito, southbound 101 from the Waldo to the Golden Gate. Right now, it's 49 degrees in San Francisco. I'm Paul Carter, Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
After a long day at work, there's nothing better than getting home, taking off your shoes, turning the lights down low, and settling into your favorite chair. It's time to let Hot Talk 560 KSFO melt your stress away.
Where the hell are you going to wake up out there, you idiots? How much can you take from the vermin in the political structure and the scum in the media?
Michael Savage on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Idiots!
The bill pay shuffle. You just did it. Can't pay this bill? Stall this bill. Pay this bill or else. Shuffling bills, loans, and working overtime are not your answer. Earning more money is. But you have so little time. IncomeAtHome55.com. With a computer and a bit of time and desire, you could be banking serious money from your kitchen table. No home sales parties and no pressure. IncomeAtHome55.com has been helping our listeners for over 10 years. So stop the bill pay shuffle. IncomeAtHome55.com. Listeners, here's an amazing way to earn quit your job money from home. IncomeAtHome55.com wants listeners who want to work from home.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs, and we're both at home full-time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. IncomeAtHome55.com. IncomeAtHome55.com. IncomeAtHome55.com.
Sleep Train would like to thank the generous people of California for helping make a positive difference in the lives of thousands of local foster children.
Thank you for the school supplies.
Thank you for the new shoes.
Gracias por su ayuda.
Thank you, Secret Santa.
Your generosity provided nearly 16,000 pairs of new shoes, over 41,000 clothing items, and nearly 83,000 school supply items for foster children in your area. And your gift of thousands of toys helped make birthdays and holidays that much brighter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for donating money.
Thanks to your support, Sleep Train raised over $630,000 through donations and the Sleep Train Golf Tournament to support extracurricular activities. Your generosity proves that while not everyone can be a foster parent, anyone can help a foster child.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-WAVE.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
San Francisco, Cal, you're on The Savage Nation.
Doctor, the reason why your devoted listeners are interested in what you had for dinner the evening before the show is simply because, well, let's face it, you never have a dull moment in a restaurant. It's either public or
Well, no, wait a minute. That's not true. I do eat, and nothing happens other than I eat.
Oh, but it's always about either some nasty, mean-looking cook with a cigarette out one side of his mouth staring at you weird, and that's when the food is great. But when everybody's nice and everything's just right, the food is always terrible. So, you know, it's akin to a lot of what of us who frequent hospitality establishments also experience, particularly in the Bay Area. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, it's very difficult, except for the few restaurants I go to, and I know when to go. I avoid weekends, you know, for sure. You want to have a good meal, go on Monday night.
You get the place to yourself, huh?
You got the place to yourself, and the food is usually purchased Monday morning. Everybody knows that in the restaurant business. Monday night, Tuesday night's nice. But that's not what most. I mean, most people work. They don't have the time to go to dinner on Monday or Tuesday night. So when you go out in San Francisco, Cal, do you find people rude? Do you find the waiters hostile or what?
Most of the time, San Francisco, for as popular as the tourist trade that they claim to have, service is pretty, for the most part, it's pretty low rated. I give it a very low mark, a D minus all the way around, especially out here in Marin County where both of us live.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on Marin County. It's why I really only eat in San Francisco and in the two places I mentioned, the two kings of Italian, the Aliotto's and North Beach. Because, well, they know me, so they treat me well. That is absolutely true. But they're nice people. They're genuinely nice people. You know what I found in restaurants? Unless there's a patron, a patron at the door, I won't go in there. I don't care where I am in the country. There has to be, like, an owner or, let's say, a first-class manager who is a de facto representative of the owner who makes you feel at home and welcomes you, or else the food, to me, never is never right. There has to be someone who really cares about what they're serving and watches like a hawk. You know what restaurants are like. If they start to ignore every plate has to be looked at, or they will slide very rapidly. Don't you think, Cal?
Well, now, every rule has an exception, though, because I took to heart the story you told about the Chinese place. I'm thinking it might be the same place I went, where you go to, it's just a family, and they look at you like you don't belong there, and they hate you, and they'll serve you because they have to.
If you, well, you don't mean out, you don't mean out in the avenues where it looks like Pol Pot's brother is the owner, right?
As you sit kindly.
Yeah, he sits behind the counter. He glowers at you. I feel like in a movie set for like a Vietnam-era movie of like a prison camp, and he's the guard up in the tower staring down with hate. That's the restaurant, that one?
That's the one. If you promise to sit in the corner and not make any noise and don't order anything that...
Now, wait a minute. You don't mean... I'm not going to specify. You don't mean on Geary Street, do you?
Of course, yes.
Yes. Now, I mean, the food used to be great, but they have a new trick. Whatever you order, they bring the rice after the food. You're eating the food and there's no rice. Every time it's the same thing. You have to say, where's the rice? Like they never heard about rice coming with the food? Have you noticed that little gimmick?
I didn't. I'll be paying attention for sure next time.
Oh, you mean you get rice with your food from Pol Pot? How did you arrange that?
All I know is I just feel lucky. I get in and out of there and eat without getting hurt.
Well, one of the things I don't like, I used to love it because the food was really the best. The clay pot cookery was the best, but they got so arrogant. They got lazy. You know, they start raking it in, and the white people all bow when they go in. It's mainly the university crowd from UC Med Center. Every one of them bows, yeah, and going to have a glass of water. Oh, thank you. 80 times thank you for a glass of water and a napkin. I mean, after 10 years of that, what you start doing is you spit at the people who come in. You look down at them like they're morons. What are they thanking the owner for? He's in business to serve you a glass of water and a napkin.
We got to know. Did Teddy freak out when you showed him a picture of the Labradoodle?
The Labradoodle. No, there's a neighbor's Labradoodle that barks at Teddy. But Teddy is a very well-balanced, good-natured little boy, and he doesn't bark back. He looks at him like he's crazy. He figures it's a product of bad breeding. Real poodles don't snarl. Real poodles don't snarl. They just lift their heads and walk away. Oh, I've had a lot of fun so far today. Why? Why is this man laughing? Because if you stop laughing, you're a dead man. You're a dead man already. So for lunch, I'm walking around my favorite neighborhood. I walk up Broadway, past the strip clubs. I look in one store after the other. There's the Afghani restaurant. That's a joke unto itself. Everything, I have a comment in my head. I pass the tattoo parlor, comment in my head. I look in, tattoo, comment. Next, I pass the Afghani restaurant out of business as we move to. I said, where would you move to? A bomb making? Or they move to another. I never went to an Afghani restaurant. Why do I want to eat like old lamb, whatever? I can roll them up in a carpet. Next stop, bad pizza. The worst pizza in America is on Broadway. I don't know what it's a front for. I would never eat pizza. It looks like yellow with mice in it. Next, you walk up the street. You come to the hostel, and you see the Eurotrash. The superb creatures from Europe. And remember the Eurotrash was a popular word you were allowed to use for a while, a phrase? That went out of... Now it's like a Merotrash. According to Obama, we're a Merotrash, and the Euros are the hero. How did it become that the Europeans are like something to look up to? Where'd that come from? I mean, individually, they're going to be nice, nasty, but what do you mean Europeans? Well, what's that all about? Their culture? Just take a look at some of the Europeans outside the hostel. You'll see what culture is. You never saw such misshapen people with knapsacks in your life. Who would go to a hostel? I don't understand that in this day and age. What are they looking for? You look at these kids. Kids, some of them are like 40-year-old pervs. You know, they're still in the hostels figuring they're going to get lucky with someone from Denmark. And maybe they do. I don't know. They travel the world. I don't know what they're looking for. But you look at a kid, 20, 25, they're traveling. All right, I did it. I did it. So what are they looking for? They're looking for a romance? I don't know. Or they're looking for adventure? What adventure? What adventure can you have in the modern world other than getting mugged or raped? What adventures lie out there anymore in this homogenized world where you go to China and they look like the people from Brooklyn? Or you go to Russia, they look like the people from San Francisco. Everyone's wearing the same garbage clothing. No pressed pants, T-shirts. Everyone looks disheveled. Everyone looks disheveled. No one looks right. What is the I'm asking myself. In other words, let's go back to, all right, you start to sound cranky. All right, so I'm cranky. So let's go back to when I traveled. What was I looking for? Adventure or romance? And I found both. But then I realized that travel unto itself is a bore and a waste of time. Travel for travel's sake has to be about the most boring waste of energy known to mankind. So I decided that I had to do something useful if I ever were going to travel again, because I've always hated travel. I'm a homebody, right? So I spent many years going to the most exotic islands on Earth to collect medicinal plants, and I did very good scientific research. But it was travel with a meaning. Otherwise, I never would have been there. I hated the place, actually. At a certain point, you come to realize it's just foreign. It doesn't mean it's better. So where am I going with this? I haven't any idea. Any more than a modern artist has any idea why he painted a picture of a broken society. So I've just painted a picture for you. If you want to talk about art, you want to talk about science, you want to talk about Danish women in hostels. So then I continue on my walk up Broadway, and I decide, no, I'm not going to go to North Beach and have a big Italian meal. It's lunchtime. I got to do a show. I can't fill my guts with pasta and sauce and talk to anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. So I decided to have a power lunch in the cheapest Chinese joint that I know on Broadway, where they throw the food at you in their hostel. They look like a combination of a Pol Pot and Ho Chi Minh in this restaurant. Really nasty, particularly to Caucasians. Nasty and mean. But I like the place. I've been eating there for 20 years. They still don't know me. It's an amazing fact. I mean, I guess all white men look alike. They know me. I've got 20 years I've been in and out of the place. Anyway, I get the lunch plate. I can't believe they can still turn out a meal like this for like $5. I had the calamari and rice. The rice was horrendous. I never even had bad rice in my life till today. I don't know how rice can be bad. It was horrible rice. Disgusting. Maybe I'm into a day of self-abuse. I enjoyed every bite of the calamari. I loved it. I felt like the revolution had come. I was poor, totally poor again, and eating in the same places I ate in 30 years ago. And guess what? Nothing ever went wrong in these slop joints. And then, wait, here's the interesting part. So you walk through Chinatown in San Francisco, and I go next door. I mean, I told you, the minute I eat, I'm looking for the next meal. I look in the next place, a dim sum place, all local Chinese. I can't believe it. 3 pieces of shrimp dumplings for like $1.60. Then I go to the next joint, and it's full. And lunch plates are like $2.95, $3. You know, like pork guts over rice. I don't know what's in it. Chicken fangu, chicken egg foo young. I don't know what. Whatever they threw together over rice, $3. Now, when I was young, I used to eat here all the time in these places. I took the kids here all the time. They grew up on cheap peasant food. And to this day, we all still love the same cheap peasant food. So what is that telling you? It's telling you something. It's telling you nothing. It's telling you that the man talking to you can ride on a donkey or he can ride the limo. I can fly Southwest or I can fly in a private jet. It's all the same to me. I'm indifferent to it all. Could you play a little of the other jazz here on the Savage Nation? We'll take a quick break together. You got any of the Take 5 stuff? None. Okay. Don't you have the new stuff? Must we go back again? Can you give me a piece of new stuff? There's a pinched nerve in my neck. Why a pinched nerve in my neck? I've been healthy all my life. Why now? Stress. Finish the book. Personal problems. S happens to people. Here today, gone tomorrow. I know someone who had to go to a high school for grief counseling. A 16-year-old died of a heart attack at the desk, not even playing sports. Then I know someone at the grief counseling at the CHP. Our heart goes out to their family. A motorcycle cop with much experience cut off by a dumb old woman. hit the car. His arm is hanging. His life is hanging. He's hanging. You're hanging. We're hanging. All aboard. I'll be back.
Savage.
Whether it's a serious fall, fire danger, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with its slogan, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up," protects its members. Here are some of them.
When you have a heart attack like I did, and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Now, Life Alert can also protect you in a fire emergency with a system that automatically notifies our monitoring center.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can avoid or delay going into a nursing facility. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-877-522-2215. That's 1-877-522-2215. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure at 1-877-522-2215.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get six free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
One little.
I'm Paul Carter, Hot Talk 560 KSFO, clearing the way for action. Senate Democrat and Republican leaders have signed off on a deal negotiated by Vice President Joe Biden. ABC's Vic Ratner reports this New Year's Eve from the Capitol.
Vice President Joe Biden is here at the Capitol, making a rush late-hour trip to meet with Senate Democrats to try to sell the framework deal, which Democratic sources say both sides have approved. The deal reportedly includes an increase in income tax rates on people earning over $400,000 a year and a two-month delay in mandated spending cuts that were supposed to go into effect tonight.
The California Supreme Court says amusement parks are not financially responsible for injuries suffered on bumper cars or other thrill rides. The court ruled today that people automatically assume some risk when they jump on and therefore cannot sue if injured. The opinion reverses a state appeals court ruling in favor of a customer who had sued a Northern California amusement park after breaking her wrist while in a bumper car. Checking KSFO traffic, Vallejo, westbound 80 at Tennessee. An injury crash has been moved to the shoulder. You're backed up past Highway 37. At the Bay Bridge, tolls backed up into the maze, and there's an accident now in the right lane before the toll plaza. Free rides on Caltrain tonight, 11 p.m. till 2:15 in the morning. Muni free from 8 p.m. till 6 tomorrow morning. BART, you're going to pay. There should be no problem seeing the fireworks in the Bay Area tonight. Clear skies, but it will be cold. Right now, 48 degrees in San Francisco. I'm Paul Carter, KSFO.
Well, the elections are over, and everyone's worried about what might happen next. I'm Rick Edelman, and I want to tell you what I'm worried about. I'm worried if you have sufficient cash reserves. I'm worried if you've positioned your investments properly. I'm worried if you're taking too much risk by buying investments like municipal bonds, annuities, or non-traded REITs that can be a lot riskier than you think. I'm worried that your will might be out of date, that you're not getting the most from your employer benefits, and that your mortgage is all wrong. No matter what comes from Washington or Wall Street, you are in control of how you plan for college and retirement and care for aging parents. You want to achieve your financial goals, and we can help. Call us at Edelman Financial Services. Barron's has named me the number one independent financial advisor in the nation for the third time, and we can help you like we've helped thousands of people just like you. So call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Do you owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action, your tax problem is only going to get worse. Call the experts with an A-plus rating with the BBV. Call U.S. Tax Shield right now at 1-800-489-3838.
Unplug and unwind at Float Matrix, San Francisco Weekly's best place to alter your consciousness. Float Matrix features a state-of-the-art infrared sauna and sound and light-proof salt pods. SweetJack.com nabbed over half off your ultimate relaxation experience.
Huckleberry Finn needs music right now. In order to keep going, Huckleberry needs. Wait a minute, stop. No, no, no. Didn't you get me Offenbach for today? You said you had Offenbach. Where is it? That's what I'm talking about. Now you're talking. I wish I'd been born in 1870. I would like to have been a cohort of Toulouse-Lautrec. Nice, different age. Yes, laughter. Prior to that nasty Edison. That's not exactly what I want. Do you have the Follies Bergère, or is this is it? No, 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 no. That's some simpy New York. That's close, 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 close. I see the can-can girls and the garters and all of the drunk Frenchmen in the audience. Da, 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 da. Come on, who doesn't love it? An innocent time in the world. The War of 1812 was over. The U.S. Civil War was over. Everybody knows this, right? Can't you just see them on the stage dancing? This is pre-electricity, isn't it, guys? It's a different era. There were no problems like today. Nothing. Different world. All right, and I made my point. Sometimes I drift off in reveries, and I used to dream that people used to say, if you could be born any time, where would you like to be born? I hope God's not listening, because he's liable to say, all right, I heard that. I was listening to your show. I had nothing to do with it. What happens the day I go to, like, to heaven and God says, I was listening on January 7th, 2010. Didn't you say that you wanted to be born in 1870? No, I'm just kidding, God. Well, no, I take you seriously. I mean, you think you're so important. So you're going to be reborn in 1870 in France. No, please. I don't want to eat rotten cheese. Please. I don't want to live in a place where there's no hot running water. And although I like garlic, God, I don't want to be around everybody else who has garlic breath, if you don't mind. There was no mouthwash in those days. I could turn it into a show topic. When would you like to be reborn? You know, if you could pick it, what would it be? I just always liked that period. I even liked the art of that period. All of the Impressionists were painting around then. I mean, through certainly 30 years and more beyond that, but that's about when it began. If my Art 101 memory, you know, is still operational. You know, one of my hobbies is boating. And you know what I have in my hand? I'm like a kid in a toy shop now. I used to buy, you know, I bought cups, old Navy cups, from a guy up in Seattle. Like cups and saucers from a captain's ship. Plates. And they're like brand new. I don't know how he got them. Oh, they're beautiful. They're costly. I love the heavy china. I can't wait to have a cup. You ever have coffee in a Navy cup? Heavy cups of a certain type? They're not made of melanin. I'll tell you that right now. It says lead-free, but they're not melanin. These were not made in China. These were made for the U.S. Navy when they were still made in America. You know what I mean, before Clinton took power. Before you can't even find a cup anymore in a store not made somewhere else. Heavy, you hear? You hear that? Just the sound of it. I feel like I'm Admiral Rickover holding. No, I can't explain it. Every time I go on my boat, it's cold. I want to have a cup of coffee. It's the first thing I want. Even if I had one at home. Now I have a cup, finally, to do it with. There is something about a cup of coffee on a boat, particularly wet and cold out here. It's horrible. It's like a nightmare. It's like Noah's Ark. It's like 40 days and 40 nights without let up. I can't stand the weather. The only reason I'm mentioning it, which is a no-no in talk radio, because, you know, like, it's national, and you shouldn't tell them what your local, what time is, or weather, because there's so many zones and weather. Because I'll tell you why. Although San Francisco is backwards in every other way, socially, we're just the anus of the empire out here in terms of social disorder. But in so many other ways, what happens here first will hit you next. So get ready for the storms that are coming. We've had day after day after day. I mean, rain like you can't believe. And so it's going into the Midwest, and it'll hit the East Coast in 3 days. So get ready for another wonderful series of blizzards. I never saw it like this. It must be global freezing. How do you like it? I did remember it was like this once before. But I've lived in the islands, in Samoa once. And you ever read the book Rain by Somerset Maugham? Well, I lived through Rain by Somerset Maugham. When the children were very young and I was collecting plants in Fiji, we were in a little house in Suva with a tin roof. You cannot believe what it's like to live under a rainstorm in the tropics that doesn't let up for 20 or 30 days in a row. It can really get on your nerves. It can really make you want to listen to Jim Morrison and take him literally. You know, I'm telling you, there's just nowhere to go with it. Play Jim Morrison for a minute on the Savage Nation.
You know, the day this night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on.
That message goes out to the holder of a Cal College degree on MSNBC. It's time to listen to Jim Morrison. We realize that the DDT and other toxic chemicals, probably PVC, did hurt you neurologically. There's no question. That's where the tremors come from. And the bizarre statements that you make on television. It's only a matter of time until Daddy GE dumps you. Very soon, Daddy GE is going to just send you a... You're going to come to work one day, sir, and they're not going to let you in the building. There's going to be a cardboard box waiting for you outside of the MSNBC building. In it, you will find the remnants of your once glorious past. All of it will be behind you. And then, of course, you'll try talk radio, but Air America's gone. So what's left for you? That's why I say, sir, it's time to listen to Jim Morrison and take him literally. All right, I'm having too much fun, and I keep admitting it. On MichaelSavage.com, you can see all the important stories. Had a lot of red wine later. Can I tell you something about red wine? The night before I went to a restaurant, I ordered some red wine from Italy. Horrible. I had one sip. One sip, I already felt a backhead headache. I sent it. I said, sorry, I don't want it. I pulled out a bottle of, it was Chianti. I had it in one of my locations from 2000. Now, Chianti is a Sauvignon, Sangiovese grape, number one. Many people get headaches from Chianti wine, and I know about the whole tyrosine issue. I wrote about it in 1983. So you should understand a lot of it is not exactly true, and the tyrosine levels go down in time. I had a bottle of, what was the name of the brand? I shouldn't even give it, but it was a Ducale. You know what it was, gold label, 2000 Oro. And all of the rough, you know, taste went out of the wine. I was able to drink like a half a bottle, no headache. I woke up feeling like there was velvet between my joints. It was amazing.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
Jeremiah, you're on The Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I wanted to share with you. I agree with you. I believe animals do have spirits. And one thing that really started me on that journey is I read this article years ago conducted by a scientist. And it talked about the era before the prop in the boats and the era of the humpback whales during that. And what happened was the way whales communicate with the sound vibrations, every single humpback whale on Earth was completely in tune with every other humpback whale.
Wait, around the globe?
Yeah, yeah, before the era of the prop, before there was any nests in any...
Oh, my God, that's awesome. That is awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, that's, it's sort of like a...
Look, all I know is one of the reasons I've always had dogs and always enjoyed dogs ever since I was a little boy, and they've grounded me into the spirit world, and I know no one has to argue. You can argue anything you want. Nobody has proof one way or the other. But when I look at my humble dog, I don't see him. I don't see that dog as me, man, you, dog.
Right.
I don't see
right.
the dog as equal to me. The dog depends upon me for everything. The dog needs me to keep him alive. I recognize that. So I know I'm a higher intelligence than a dog. That's a given. Man is a higher intelligence than all other animals. There's no question about that. And as such, we have an obligation to be kind to them. Even if we eat them, we must slaughter them with kindness, not with cruelty. I mean, if you want to read the biblical law on slaughter, it's supposed to be slaughter with compassion. I don't know if people even understand that. In other words, just because you hunt doesn't mean you get to torture.
Right.
Right? So even though man has the ability and the right to eat the animal, he has an obligation as a higher creature. God only knows he doesn't act like the higher creature, not with his ways, but let's put that aside. It's supposed to be a quick shot. The animal's not supposed to run with a gut shot for days suffering and bleeding, is he?
Right, absolutely.
And in a slaughterhouse, the animal is supposed to be shot quickly and killed. I've been in a slaughterhouse, and I've never forgotten it as long as I live. I didn't enjoy the experience. I went into a slaughterhouse in the Fiji Islands 30 years ago where it was very primitive. I will tell you that cow knew she was going to be killed, and so did every other cow out in the stockade. I saw the fear in their eyes. I smelled the fear of death on those creatures. They didn't like being prodded into the death chamber, but some poor Fijian with a broomstick had to put it into their anus to make them go forward to the man with the gun that was going to shoot him in the head. Okay, so it's not a pretty sight, Jeremiah. We want the steak, but we don't want the slaughter. This goes to the whale. Why must we kill in this day and age, in this late time of mankind, with so much cruelty on earth? Why must we kill a 130-year-old whale? Why can't we protect the 130-year-old whale?
I don't even know why people have to really hunt for ivory anymore. And on that, I'd like to add another article I read. It was either through National Geographic, one of those excellent sort of science survey magazines, talked about the Saharan elephant in their in their groups. If one of them dies, and this happens a lot due to poaching, the other elephants of the group will circumambulate the carcass for days.
Yes, and it's a survival instinct, hoping to protect it from further predation, hoping it will rise and join them again. It's very touching. In other words, there are sick elephants that will fall down or injured elephants that will fall down, and if they circle the injured elephant, they're protecting it, hoping it will rise again.
Right, but this is even after...
Well, it is getting sad. A lot of people who are depressives are going to wind up calling their doctor today. I agree with you on the main point that animals have spirits. I'm not one of these who say that when a baby... I'll never forget when I was in university and I had my first child, some so-called professors, the most liberal progressives of the bunch, used to say, oh, your child's not smiling, the infant. He has gas. You know, I've been around Nazi-like people in my lifetime. And the Nazis are the ones who said that humans have no spirits and no souls. You understand that? They were all mechanistic. Haven't you heard that, Jeremiah?
Absolutely. It's a way to just...
They say that human beings are mechanisms. We're not even spirits ourselves. There are humans walking this planet with PhDs and medical degrees who don't even see us as unique and divine. And they see animals as nothing but robots made to be experimented upon. I gave up a very nice fellowship when I went to graduate school and wound up broke and poor because I wouldn't kill rats in a cage because I heard my deceased father talking to me when I was in that laboratory the first day. And from the grave, my father said to me, this is what you evolved for, is to kill animals, kill little furry creatures? This is what you evolved for? It was a question that came from the other side to me, Jeremiah. And I left. I went to the professor and I said, I can't do this. I will not kill the animal. I'll do anything else in this pharmacological laboratory, but I will not kill those rats. He said, then you're going to be fired. I said, well, you know, I came all the way from New York. I don't have a dime. I won't be able to live. He said, that's your problem. I said, then I quit. He said, you're fired. And guess what? The Red Sea parted. I discovered botany, where I didn't have to kill anything. I have the greatest callers in the world. It's astounding to me who calls this show. Ordinary people with extraordinary minds. The very people who built this country still exist. The very people who saved this country still exist. Only they're never heard from except on very rare occasions. New York City, Charlie, we're talking about life and death and humanity. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
That's one of the reasons the Torah mandated not eating carnivores.
That's interesting. Let's define that for the listener. So, obviously, a cow is not a carnivore. You're talking about an animal that eats other animals.
Yes.
And the Torah says that the reason you're not to eat a carnivore is because there's no humane way to kill the carnivore?
Yes, that's one of the reasons. I mean,
it's interesting. Wait a minute. Let me see if I analyze this. There are many people listening to the show who would kill a carnivore humanely. I mean, through a clean shot, wouldn't they? One shot and the animal's dead.
In modern times, but in ancient times, there was no way to do it.
No, because the animal would fight back, and it was a fight to the death, and the animal would be slaughtered, in other words, in a fight in the ancient days. That's interesting. I never thought of it that way. Well, you know, let's talk about humane slaughter for a minute, because to some people, to vegetarians, those words are oxymoronic. Humane slaughter. But there is humane slaughter, and there is inhumane slaughter. I mean, obviously, we agree on that, Charlie, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, as an Orthodox Jew, in warfare, let's talk about warfare, man killing man. Are there not rules on how to kill your enemy?
Well, you're not supposed to cause inordinate suffering. Certainly not.
Okay, the Arab takes pleasure on a battlefield in desecrating the remains of the enemy he kills. They behead them, they cut off their genitals, or sometimes before the individual is killed, they will torture them. The Jew is prohibited from that behavior. Is that correct by his own teachings?
Absolutely.
So by the Jewish and Christian tradition, the warrior does not desecrate or torture the enemy. Now that you know that and you don't read that in Associated Press, do you, Charlie?
No, I don't think so.
No, and you don't read what the Arab does to the captured soldier very often on a regular basis, and that means the other Muslim as well, by the way. They will torture, and they will torment, and then they will desecrate another Muslim on a battlefield. That's also true, Charlie. It's not just directed at the non-Muslim. Thank you for the call. The day we wake up to the fact that we still have the power to destroy them all, and we better do it faster rather than sooner, or they'll kill us all, that's the day we'll survive as a nation. So, you know, you want to talk about whales, you want to talk about spirits, you can get into anything. Any discussion that is good will lead you to every other discussion. Any discussion that is spirited will lead you to every discussion on the earth. I could talk about man, I could talk about beast, I could talk about war, I could talk about peace, I could talk about God, I could talk about the devil. All because of this story that touched me about the whale being killed by this greedy Eskimo. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, I'm just calling about the spirit nature of the animals and what you have been talking about earlier.
Yes.
I'm actually a Christian, and I find in the Bible, even though I have disagreements with many people who are Christian, that animals are clearly described in heaven. And God says even Jesus himself, when he returns, will be on a white horse followed by an army on white horses.
Hmm. Now, you're a veterinarian, according to the call screening device that I have?
Yes, sir.
Obviously, you've seen animals die in front of your eyes.
Yes, we treat them, and we try to save them, and sometimes...
Now, when an animal dies, have you seen anything that you'd like to share? Is there anything unique about it, or is it just like a human dying?
Well, I've only seen maybe one human die, my family members, and I would tell you that there is a bond that forms between the animals and us, that the more you get to know them, you know from your own dog, I know I hear you talk about him, that there is a strong bond there, and it's an unconditional love, and I consider them a gift from God to teach
so
us.
So do I. I absolutely consider it a gift from heaven to have this dog around me, this spirit. I call her my spirit friend. My last dog, Snowy, I called her a spirit guide. There were many nights I would dream that dog was leading me in places in my dreams. I haven't had that with Teddy. I've had Teddy following me in my dreams, but I haven't had him leading me. as I used to walk down the streets of San Francisco, some days I would say, now what's the proper face to wear walking amongst human animals? Because we all put on a face. There's no question about it. And what face shall we wear? And some days I'd say, how would Snowy look if she were a human walking down the street since everyone loves Shelties? And in my own mind, I would take on the spirit of the Sheltie, and somehow, I don't know, I had better luck walking down the street with people than I did as my normal grumpy self.
That's good. That's good. I love that.
I mean, that's why I would say they were somewhat spirit guides. You can learn from your animals, you know. Thank you, John. No, when Snowy died, you know, I'm going to tell you the Snowy death story. It's a very quick story because it's just another pet passing away. It's not like a mother dying, believe me. I'm not putting in the same category. It's one man talking to you about a pet dying. And I know it's a very emotional topic for some of you because we live in an isolated, atomized world where there's no friends, no one you can trust. Families have been blown up from each other. Hate prevails. Father, son, son, father. It's a terrible time to be a human being in some ways. Terrible. And so many of us have turned to animals because they love us. They love us, and then when they die, we're heartbroken. Now, a couple of years ago, Snowy got old, and she started to get arthritis, and she could hardly walk, and she got very fat and this and that. And I remember her like Lassie. She would jump over logs that I put for her from when she was young and blah, blah, blah. Now you see her like, you know, an ancient parent, an aging parent. When the parent was vigorous, now he's in a nursing home, shriveled up without teeth. It's a heartbreak. You know, you're better off actually seeing your father drop dead when he's still healthy in a certain way. I don't know what to say in a way. Maybe I was blessed. I don't want to put a kibosh on my own self. But my father died rather, you know, in his 50s. I didn't have to see him go through that decaying and becoming a helpless, worn-out creature in a wheelchair. He told me he didn't want to go there. He said, I'd much rather die when I still have some dignity. I don't want anyone to wipe my behind for me. That was the way he was. So anyway, maybe he dictated it that way.
Savage.
One little joint supplement. You know this powerful little pill is great for your joints, it's great for your cartilage, it even has powerful benefits to help increase your mobility and flexibility. But the joint supplements of today are sadly incomplete because they don't start relieving joint discomfort immediately. Until now. Introducing the complimentary 2-week sample of fast-acting Instaflex, our most powerful joint formula ever. It can start relieving joint discomfort in just a few days. The only thing our complimentary sample of Instaflex is missing is the price. Because right now, we're offering adults a complimentary 2-week sample as part of a nationwide giveaway. Call and claim your sample today. 1-800-946-9745. Great for your knees, hands, even your hips. Fast-acting Instaflex can start relieving joint discomfort in just a few days. Instaflex is available at GNC, Rite Aid Pharmacies, and Vitamin World, where you can only get your complimentary 2-week sample by calling 1-800-946-9745. Call now for your 2-week Instaflex sample. 1-800-946-9745.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-895-8035. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
A mass murdering animal murdered 20 little kids. I mean little kids, and his mother, and 6 teachers and administrators, who are no doubt trying to protect them.
Mark Levin, weekdays at 3.
And right away, we have to get into this crap about gun control? Like that would fix it?
Mark Levin.
Let me say this to you. If you do pray, pray hard.
On Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Is your financial advisor putting his money where his mouth is?
Too many financial advisors tell their client to buy investments that they would never invest in themselves. In fact, Morningstar has revealed that only 47% of U.S. stock fund managers personally own the funds they manage. More than half the fund managers don't invest their own money into the funds where you're supposed to put your life savings. Is the story the same for the person giving you investment advice? Well, ask your financial advisor if he's invested his own money in the same funds he's told you to buy. At O'Donnell Financial Group, they personally own the same investments that they recommend to their clients. That's how they've done it since 1987. For a free portfolio review and analysis, call 866-496-2300 or visit them online at O'DonnellFinancialGroup.com. That's 866-496-2300.
Securities, financial planning, and advisory services are offered through Financial Telesis, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. O'Donnell Financial Group, LLC, and Financial Telesis, Inc. are not affiliated.
I'm on the go. Work calls and I'm off. This city today, that city tomorrow, I make sure business gets done. And wherever I go, home goes with me. It's a little app called iHeartRadio. My favorite station's on here and I keep up with the news and sports from the personalities I love.
Download the free iHeartRadio app. Over 1,500 ready-to-play local stations on your iPod, iPhone, Android, or other mobile device. iHeartRadio.com.
And I can listen on vacation too. I'll have another one of those blue drinks, please.
Where were you when your identity thief robbed you? The airport Wi-Fi connection last week? The free wireless at your hotel? Or that mobile hotspot where you got coffee? When connecting to Wi-Fi through smartphones and laptops, you could be inviting identity thieves in, potentially handing over everything. Bank accounts, social security numbers, passwords, and basically saying, go ahead, destroy my credit and take over my bank accounts. LifeLock Ultimate is the only identity theft protection service that monitors for bank account takeover fraud. It's the line between panic and protection. Enjoy the peace of mind that comes from arming yourself with LifeLock Ultimate. Visit LifeLock.com or make the quick call today and mention Enroll 60 to get 60 days risk-free. If you're not happy, call LifeLock within 60 days of enrollment and you won't pay a cent. See LifeLock.com for details. Call 1-800-978-9766. 1-800-978-9766. 1-800-978-9766. Network does not cover all transactions. Scope may vary.
Now, Fat Al's tuna, that's a recipe. When I was a boy working as a busboy in the Shanks Paramount Hotel, I saw how tuna was really made. Fat Al was a 350-pounder. Now, when he made tuna in a tureen, he didn't use a mixed mask. They used his hairy forearm. He had a cigarette dangling from the right side of his mouth, and the kitchen was banging and bustling, and the people were out there eating a ninth meal of the afternoon. And he was mixing a tuna. He would throw the cans of tuna in. They'd throw in vats of mayonnaise. And the guy stirred it with his arm. He rolled up his undershirt. You see, you got to visualize this. Fat Al would lean over that tureen with the arm, the big, giant Italian arm, full of hair. And his arm was mayonnaise thick up to his armpit. And he's got the arm moving around. And he said, you see, kid, you keep moving it till you get a nice creamy consistency. Meanwhile, the ash is falling off his cigarette. I guess that helped the taste of the tuna because the people never complained. They loved it. Now, that's a tuna. There is a proper tuna with a little sweat and arm hair. Now, that is a good tuna fish recipe. Other than that, I don't want to talk about recipes. Here's a story on the two faces of England that caught my eye. It said, Englishmen quayed up to denounce their country as being sick and depraved in an article in Der Spiegel. According to the German magazine, our island story is now filled with brawling drunks, overflowing prisons, truancy, late trains, and racists. The only thing missing from that list are phony liberals. Our only heroes are philandering footballers, so we could substitute philandering basketball players. We've become a nation ill at ease with ourselves. Yet in the same week, a new guidebook paints Britain as an idyllic country where everything stops for afternoon tea, complete with cucumber sandwiches and crumpets, delicious fruitcakes and jam sponges. Everyone wears tweed in the country, and the trains generally run on time. The only problem with the English is they can't speak the language properly. That's the one problem with them. They never, like, kept up with the times. They speak a kind of a brittle, older language that's not really, doesn't really resemble the English that I know. And it doesn't work for them anymore. That's why they're shriveling as a nation. Can you name one British talk show host that sells in the world? No. People don't like that. That British accent was hot in the 60s. Everyone hired like a chick who had a British accent. Like, because all the Jewish guys in the garment center got hot for that. You know what I mean? Yes, Mr. Katz is not here. They always hired him in the garment center. That's who they hired. But that's over with. No one won. Now they want like a Puerto Rican woman or Mexican. That's like, in a certain way, it's reverse déclassé. If you got someone who speaks that kind of parochial English, it's more appealing in a certain way, very in your face. But the English accent does not play the same way that I enjoy listening to it. It's kind of archaic and cute in its own way. But it's not used in the same... Remember, how many people do you call up today in business and get that English girl accent? No one. No one anymore. I'm not putting it down. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that no one is into the English accent thing as cool. In fact, it has a reverse effect on people. I never forget when I was in graduate school, I had a professor I really admired a lot. Now, he was an American, PhD, a really fine chemist. He was the chairman of the pharmacology department, and I was doing graduate studies under him, and I love this guy. He had come from a major American pharmaceutical firm and retired to teach pharmacology, and I really admired this guy, okay? Now, he's not a New Yorker, but he spoke a regular Midwestern New York accent. I never forget, I was thinking of this just the other day while shaving. An English professor had come to meet him and talk about something, and the Englishman walked in and said something like, "Daryl Devonshire here." And he said, "I'm Frank, how are you?" In other words, he didn't get intimidated by the Derby Devonshire thing, nor did Derby Devonshire necessarily do it to rank him out. He may have. But the point I'm making is that by answering in his own accent, he was he, and the other guy was he. You know what I'm saying? He was he. So learn to be who you are. Don't try to change yourself. Believe me, I could speak corporatese as good as the next guy. I was a corporate consultant for many years. And I found out as time went on, I don't have to sound like I'm from the Midwest.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer: Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Good evening. I'm Carolyn Burns, Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Here's what's happening around the Bay Area. Police in the Bay Area will have extra patrols tonight to discourage people from drinking and driving. They'll also be responding to reports of people firing guns into the air to celebrate the beginning of the new year. Richmond, Oakland, and East Palo Alto police use ShotSpotter technology to pinpoint the location of gunfire, sends notifications to patrol cars so officers can get there within seconds. KSFO traffic. It's off to the Bay Bridge we go, where earlier they had a special traffic alert in effect. Westbound 580 there was blocked, but now CHP telling us that all lanes are open and people can use those lanes once again. We also have an accident, Redwood City, 101 northbound at University there. There are two cars. One's blocking the slow lane. CHP is on scene. KSFO weather, clear, crisp, and cold through the night, lows from the upper 20s to the low 40s. With the news and the views you won't hear anywhere else, I'm Carolyn Burns, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Mike Huckabee.
That it was just not a good day for those of us who are conservative, those of us who thought that the policies of Barack Obama were taking us the wrong path. But apparently, majority of Americans disagree. And that's what happens in this country. We are about giving our citizens the right to make choices. They made a choice. And those of us who lost have to accept it.
Conservative and not mad about it. Join the discussion with Governor Mike Huckabee. Weekdays 9 till noon on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Hi, this is Randy Bishop, CEO of Varango Solar. Did you know power bills are expected to increase 40% in the next 5 years? That's why I founded Varango Solar and why I'm so proud. We are now the number one residential solar installer in Southern California. We make it easy for homeowners to save thousands on their electric bills. All it takes is a 5-minute phone call. We'll pull up a satellite image of your roof and tell you right there on the phone if you can switch to solar with no money out of pocket. There are no upfront costs. Because with Varango, you don't pay for the solar panels, you pay for the solar power at a lower rate than your electric utility charges you. And if Varango can't save you money, we won't take your business. You can go solar for zero down. Like Ed Asner says, Varango really has made going solar a no-brainer.
Call Varango Solar at 800-381-3900. A 5-minute phone call could save you thousands on your electric bills. 800-381-3900. That's 800-381-3900.
Certain terms and conditions apply. CSLB number 935263.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit att.com/enhancedPTT3 to get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby 3. You push to talk, we pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Limited time offer. Free phone on new activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk service.
If you're driving, texting, checking Facebook, or returning emails and we catch you, you will get a ticket. If you don't kill yourself first, it's not worth it. A message from the California Highway Patrol and the California Office of Traffic Safety.
He wakes up, sniffs around, looks for great deals all over town. He's Sweet Jack, he's Sweet Jack, he's SweetJack.com. He searches in all places, really hot deals are what he chases. To get the best deals in your inbox, that's why he rocks. He's Sweet Jack, he's Sweet Jack, he's Sweet Jack, SweetJack.com.
You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
You want me to tell you what happened at the museum, a night at the museum? I'm not sure you want to hear about the exhibit, the closed. It had never been open to the public, Birth of Impressionism. So I went. I was invited because I happen to love Impressionist paintings. Who doesn't? We all grew up on them. I mean, everybody grew up on Impressionist paintings. Everybody who went to college had to study the Impressionists, right? And so many of you say, that's passe. We don't look at it anymore. Well, who needs it? We know all about it. You don't know all about it. In fact, I went there and found 3 new paintings that I didn't know existed. I take that back. I did know they existed. One of them I knew existed. The Floor Scrapers from 1875 by Calabot. Unbelievable. Raboteurs de Parquet, to show you I know French. The Magpie by Monet, 1868. And then most important to me, which was the painting that was very political, The Escape of Rochefort by Manet. Now, why did that painting have any relevance for me, The Escape of Rochefort? I'm going to read this to you for 1 minute, and then we'll move on to straight politics, but I want to read this to you. It caught me. It's basically a picture of a sea, and in the midst of this big painting of a sea, there's a small picture of men in a rowboat. And you read it, Edouard Manet, The Escape of Rochefort, 1881. And just listen to the paragraph. It doesn't matter whether you went to college or not. Henri Rochefort founded the controversial political journal La Lanterne, The Lantern, and was actively opposed to the imperial regime of Napoleon III. Sounds like Obama I, doesn't it? This led to his involvement in the Paris Commune, for which he was imprisoned. Press freedom, anyone? Manet depicts Rochefort's daring escape from a French prison colony in New Caledonia. Intended for the Salon of 1881, Manet's political commentary transforms the recent past into modern history. Amen, does it ever. It's interesting to me that they didn't kill political opponents. They didn't send out Secret Service agents or secret agents to spy on them. Well, they arrested them and they, you know, excommunicated them, in this case, to New Caledonia, which... You have to understand how far away New Caledonia is and how far away New Caledonia was from Paris in the 1880s. if you've been to any part of the South Pacific, you realize it may as well be the end of the world. That he escaped is astounding. But that brings us front and center to today, which is the art of today. Art of today, from the political, it's become the polemical. I'm going to ask you a simple question. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to like art to answer this question, right? Here's the question. Can you name one artist in the United States of America? Name one. You can't. Can you name any artist from France who speaks today for France? Can you name one German artist? No, you don't know of any because there are none. It doesn't mean there aren't people who are painting, there aren't people who are sculpting, there are. But there are no prominent artists in any Western nation. So you say, wait a minute, how did this happen? How did we wind up in a place where there are no artists that we know of? How come we don't know of an artist in America? Can you name one scientist in America? You can't. How come there's not one prominent scientist? In other words, if you look back 50 years, you all heard of Jonas Salk. You heard of a physicist named Albert Einstein. You know what I'm saying? The giants. How come there are no giants in the sciences, the arts today? There's an answer to that as well. In my opinion, I have the answer for that. It has to do with liberalism. Liberalism deconstructed the entire West, all of Western civilization, and destroyed it. And the reason they deconstructed Western civilization is to enable themselves to reconstruct it in the image of a gigantic new Sovietized world where there is no art except art which serves the state. Witness the Obama posters during the campaign, where there is no science other than science which supports the government. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? You have to understand where I'm coming from to understand what I'm saying at all. So I attended an art show at the De Young Museum, classical paintings from the Impressionist era, and I was again taken in by their beauty. But I ask you, where in America today are such works of art being created? Can you name one artist today that creates works of art on the level of a Degas or Renoir? Well, what's amazing is that even the art of that era was sometimes political, as I just showed you. But in the world of art, we've gone from the political to the polemical. Can you think of a single artist today whose art is intended to uplift instead of to offend? Can you think of an artist who describes instead of degrades? Can you think of an artist who reveres instead of reviles America? There's no one. No Western nation currently produces great artists or sculptors, and it's because of the same left-wing ism that has destroyed our political system. The very same left that would laud a loser like Woody Allen, who wishes that there would be a dictatorship where Obama could be a dictator if it wasn't for those nasty Republicans. This is from a Jew. This is from a liberal Jew who wishes for a dictatorship. This is why I've told you years ago that you actually shouldn't fear these people. You should pity them. Liberalism is a mental disorder, a very serious one. What Woody Allen doesn't know is that when the Nazis rose to power in Germany, and that was a dictatorship, I guess that was a bad dictatorship. It certainly was, but to Woody Allen, there was only one bad dictatorship. That was that of Nazi Germany. But I guess the Soviet Union had a good dictatorship under Stalin. Now, what did the Germans do? The Nazis took many of the great works of art, which they considered to be degenerate, and removed them from museums, particularly the art of Jews. They took away the art of Chagall, Kandinsky, and they removed them from public view, but they didn't destroy them. No, did they? Not at all. Ironically, those paintings and many other classical works of art were stolen and hoarded by high-ranking officials of the Nazi regime. Now, what happened in Russia is after the Russian Revolution, the Bolsheviks tried to put all art into the service of the dictatorship of the proletariat. Stalin issued a decree, quote, on the reconstruction of literary and art organizations, and only art in the, quote, socialist realism style was allowed. What does this have to do with America today? Well, listen. The Nazis and the Soviets were both socialist regimes. Never be deceived. We know the Soviets were socialist. That you know. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republic. But you didn't know that the Nazis were socialist until I told you this. And they allowed only art that fell in line with their extreme political agenda. And what did they do? They depicted muscled factory workers in overalls struggling in a steel foundry, or heroic visions of soldiers hearkening back to the Roman Empire. These paintings, posters, and sculptures were propaganda, not real art. And so you go even to China under Mao Zedong. Remember the peasant posters of the noble peasant working in the field? Again, that's an example of state-sponsored art. And what's happening today? That's the real question. Well, what's happening today is that real art has been hollowed out and replaced with garbage that serves the needs of the state. Do you realize that great art is by its very nature conservative? That crap art is by its very nature liberal? A great painting conserves a moment in time or an emotion so that it can be experienced by future generations. The conservative bees build up the hive. The progressive termites tear down the hive. They critique art, they impose meanings upon it that are designed to further their far-left political agendas. And so the art that is created by leftists is destructive. For example, a painting of the Virgin Mary in elephant dung, a crucifix in a jar of urine, or a mindless repetition of images such as Andy Warhol's soup cans. Why was that designed? What is it designed for? Well, all of those pieces of dreck were designed to render the very structure of art meaningless. Remember, the goal of liberal, postmodern, deconstructive art is to tear down the old institutions like the Catholic Church, the family, the nation, and replace them with chaos. And then in that chaos, there is an environment ripe for takeover by a monolithic dictatorial view of culture in which only one opinion on an issue is allowed, and that is the opinion of the government. And in the world of art, this means giant posters of the great leader mounted on every empty wall, as we saw with the Obama posters that appeared in 2008. In the political world, it means a dictatorship, the kind of dictatorship that Woody Allen and other so-called members of the progressive art community wish Obama had. The left has deconstructed art, and now the left is trying to deconstruct our nation as well. What do I have to tell you? What do I have to tell you? It's the sad state of affairs that we're living in a country. I don't know whose country it is. I know it's not mine. I know that I am not living in the America I grew up in, that I used to wake up in the morning and feel like the luckiest person on earth. My parents told me how the world was around me and how everybody wanted to come here. I used to wake up in the morning and feel lucky just to be an American when I knew how bad it was everywhere else on earth. And then I wake up one day and I start to feel, wait a minute, how did this country become almost like a third world nation? How did patriots in this country become suspect? How did deviants and other such individuals suddenly become revered? How is it that every movie that is made is not about a hero but about a degenerate criminal? How is it possible that there are so many sick people in so many positions of power? How is it that every crime that is committed, the suspect is immediately a white male? How far have we fallen so fast in the United States of America? I ask myself every morning as I awaken and every night as I go to sleep. That's the truth. That's one man's opinion. If you don't agree with me, you know what? It's too damn bad. I'm an Aries, and I'll tell you the way I see it. If it matches, fine. If it's a blood donation that matches, take it as a transfusion. If it's a blood donation that causes toxicity, then go listen to some schmuck show on NPR where you get your daily dose of seditiousness and cowardice. Because I am sick and tired of mincing words.
Savage.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse, much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected, stop collection, and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-299-1855. That's 800-299-1855. 800-299-1855.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized Wave Ventilation Unit. Wave Ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave Ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier
dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
The best damn morning show, period.
You can see that they are completely incapable of asking any hard and probing questions. They're all buds with the man. They love the man. It's gooey. It's icky. It's yucky. It's not journalism.
It was like physically uncomfortable to watch the exchange weird between these two.
No, it's weird.
Weekday mornings at 5 on Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
There are a lot of great-looking new cars for sale now. And if you're thinking about buying one, it probably means you want to get rid of that not-so-great-looking old car cluttering up your garage or squatting at the curb. Don't go through one ad heck. Go to the phone and dial 800-321-3023. 7 days a week, live operators are available to help you donate your old car to the Cancer Fund of America. We do all the DMV and smog paperwork. We even pick up your car, running or not in most cases. What could be easier? And you'll be eligible for a charitable tax deduction, besides having the satisfaction of knowing that your old wheels are helping the Cancer Fund help thousands of people. So call 800-321-3023. That's 800-321-3023. We take cars, vans, trucks, RVs, and Batmobiles. 800-321-3023. And thanks from all of us at the Cancer Fund of America.
The SFPD reminds you that red always means stop.
Hi, this is San Francisco Police Chief Greg Sir. Each and every day, red light runners in San Francisco create a clear and present danger to other motorists, bicyclists, and pedestrians in San Francisco. When caught, you can face a hefty fine and put your driving privilege at risk. A red traffic light is not a suggestion. It means stop. Let's all commit to stopping at red lights to keep our community safe.
A public service of the San Francisco Police Department and this Cumulus radio station. Dance the night away and say hello to 2013 aboard the USS Hornet aircraft carrier. One of the best places to dance in the Bay Area and located in Alameda. Watch the fireworks in San Francisco aboard the Hornet's historic flight deck. Bring in the new year in style and dance among the vintage aircraft on the enclosed heated hangar deck. 3 o'clock jump will perform classics from the big band era, so get ready to rumba, cha-cha, waltz, and swing the night away. Free dance lessons throughout the night. To reserve your tickets to this ultimate New Year's Eve party, call 510-521-8448, extension 282, or go to uss-hornet.org. Doors open at 7:30 p.m., dancing till 1 a.m. That's the USS Hornet New Year's Eve party, Monday evening, December 31st. Say goodbye to 2012. Say hello to 2013 and dance the night away aboard the USS Hornet in Alameda.
Sean Hannity.
And Barack Obama, how's he going to pay for it? He's going to, quote, tax the wealthy. He's going to destroy the economy is what he's going to do.
Weekdays from noon till 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
I was watching C-SPAN last night. I after the show, I went home, and I cooked myself dinner. I'll tell you what I made. I make I usually give you a recipe a day lately, but I like to cook at night. I specialize in simple dishes that are very complex. Now, they're really very easy to cook. So anyway, I'm cooking, and I'm watching C-SPAN. And I'll tell you what I made. I made what's called Spanish rice. Somebody called it risotto. I gave away half the dish to a friend who came over in a take-home thing because it was so good. I knew the next day nothing's really that good. So you start with a little. No, it's simple. You get a hot frying pan. You get the frying pan with a top on it. I love those little Dutch oven frying pans. I like to cook with a top on it because I tend to splatter the entire kitchen. The problem with it is you tend to steam the food rather than saute the food that way. But you got to, if you put the cover on and leave it slightly off, slightly ajar, you get what you want without splattering the stove. And it does keep the heat, and it makes it consistent. So I had some very good chopped meat, so I'm not a vegetarian, and I do eat cow. So I had some low-fat organic cow in the house that I hadn't used, and I figured, all right, I'll use that. So what I did was is that first I take about an eighth of a pound of it, and break it up into little pieces and throw it into the frying pan when it's hot, as I said. Turn it so you're not burning it. You don't want to get it black. It tastes horrible, chopped meat, when it's blackened. You want to cook it. All the redness goes out of it. Not any more than that. Then pour the fat out of the pan. I don't know about you, but I can't stand the taste of meat fat in the dish. I know many of you think it's good. All right, I pour it out. Pour it out and throw the meat back in. Now put chopped scallions on top of it. And turn the heat down to simmer, where there's almost no heat. It's just warm at this point. Because at the same time I'm doing this, I'm actually cooking the rice in a rice cooker that I bought 35 years ago. And no one has ever made a better one. It's a little like unit that I got in 30 years. So it's 1 3/4 cups of water to 1 cup of rice. I like basmati rice in the cooker. Okay, it's a steamer with a top. And it takes 20 minutes consistently, the best rice cooker I ever had. So I'm making the rice, which I'm going to use in the dish. I'm heating the meat up. Now I put in the scallions on top of the meat. Then you put whatever other vegetables you want. It doesn't really matter. It's to your flavor. Then I put in some of that incredible Calabrese sausage that I cooked the other day. I put that into the pan. Then I had a chicken that was actually bought in the market, which I love. I pulled a wing off it and threw that into the pan. Now remember, keep it hot, keep it moving, keep it turning, keep it moving, keep it hot, keep it moving, keep it turning, keep turning. And you put all the vegetables on the top of it. Now, the next thing is you got to put the paprika on it. I love paprika, particularly in the winter. Put it all over the meat, put it all over the vegetables, and stir it. Keep it hot, keep it covered, because you don't want the water-soluble vitamins to go out of the vegetables, otherwise you're losing everything you're supposed to gain. You don't want the vitamin C to go up in the steam because it's water-soluble. That's why you use covered cookware for vegetables in particular. So you're turning it, you're putting in whatever vegetables you want, you put in that. Okay, now the rice is ready. Take it out just before it's completely dried out, while it's still a little wet. Put the entire 1 cup of cooked rice that's now beautiful, fluffy, right into the pan and stir it all together and immediately add the tomato sauce that you have ready, which is usually, you know, the commercial tomato sauces that they have. It's like a whole jar. I always use a half of it because I don't like to throw it out. It's never good when you open it. You never use it for another week. You have to dump it. So I buy the half jars, and a half a jar is perfect for this dish. And you put the half a jar in on everything, and again, more garlic, the better. I forgot to tell you, I put an entire head of garlic in, a whole onion was chopped up and put in there. I forgot about that. I put that in earlier, but I didn't burn it. Stir it, so that the sauce gets completely mixed into the rice and the chicken and the sausage and the meat. And basically, you keep the cover on it when it's hot, bingo. You got enough to serve 3 people, 4 people there, or 4 small children, whatever you want. As I say, I cooked that while watching C-SPAN and drinking a little wine. California Kim, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I've learned a lot from you. I'm a first-time caller. I credit you for teaching me one thing, a lot of things, but one thing is I give now to charities that I really believe in, and you taught me that.
That's right. You know, that's the important thing is I found a few that I trust that I give money to. And believe me, in most of my life, I didn't have an extra penny to give anybody. But if I have an extra few bucks, I give it to these groups that I list on my website and some I don't even list.
Well, like you, I live with a large dose of common sense, and I give to what I believe in.
That's right. And you always look into the one thing to look in when you're giving money. I'll tell you about it. Charities. When you look at a nonprofit, find out what percent of the money goes to programs and what percent of the money goes to overhead. And if it's not 90% going to programs, don't give them a dime.
Yeah, how do you research
well,
that?
Well, if they're a nonprofit, if it's a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, then they have to file tax returns, which you could access. Before you give them a penny, ask them to see their tax returns. And if they don't give them to you, then don't give them any money. And ask them how the money is spent. What percent goes? Let's say I'm giving to a group that says we're going to save elephants. So I ask them, well, what percent of $100,000 or $100 goes to save the elephants, and what percent goes for administration costs? You know what I'm saying?
Once again, I'm learning a little more from you.
Right. That's the most important thing about nonprofits. That's what you got to ask them. Gregory, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just wanted to kind of say a little bit like the other caller said. I've been listening to you for quite a while now, back in, I guess, 96 or 97, right after my father passed. And it was quite a blessing to find you. You've been.
That's kind of nice. No, I substitute for the uncles and the fathers that are gone. I know that.
Well, you're kind of like my group guru with all the wisdom and the thing you just touched on. About seeing God in nature, and I remember a thing you said the other day on the chimpanzees. It just knocked me to the when you said how a man has to live by what dictates his soul.
And it just yes,
almost
right.
Me to tears.
Well, what do you mean when I was saying and medical research on chimpanzees?
And, yeah, but you were just explaining yourself, and it just you were explaining your. Why you have the views that you do,
kind of. Oh, in other words, why I took that upon myself to make that an issue on ending lab testing on chimpanzees.
Walked out on jaws because it hit you where it shouldn't hit you.
Yeah, well, right. Everyone has their own little things in life that move them. So what motivates you to call today, Gregory?
Well, just all the way above, and just wanted to thank you for being your modern-day Moses, Dr. Savage. And
well, I wouldn't put myself in that category for two reasons. One, I don't stutter, and B, I've not let anybody through the Reds. I haven't made the C part yet.
You're leading us through a storm right now, so.
Well, okay, I can see that. We are living through a storm, and Obama is sort of a pharaoh. He has a pharaonic figure. There's no question about it. If actually you look at him and how he looks, he's somewhat of a pharaonic figure, and he is sort of a mini pharaoh at this point.
Okay.
There is there's a great biblical parallel here. There's no question about it.
I can't believe I came up with that, but that was more of your interpretation of it. See, that's what makes you the good seer that you are, sir.
All right, I'm the good shepherd today, Gregory. Thank you for being such a loyal listener. It's listeners like you that make me get up in the morning.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
There's an article out of Connecticut. Is wealth changing Connecticut politics? The running of the rich. And the newspapers are trying to show that the Republican has a bigger boat than the Democrat. The Democrat has a 28-foot power boat, and the Republican guy has a 47-foot boat called Sexy B. It's a sports yacht that they dock in Boca Raton, Florida. Does that mean that the man is a bad man because he has a 47-foot boat, and the guy with the 28-foot boat is a better man? So that means that a man without a boat is better than a man with a smaller boat, and small is good? So it leads me to the new America that we're living in. For many years, if you have it, flaunt it was the norm. For many years, ostentatiousness was the norm. For many years, wealth was the goal. And now apparently America has entered a new phase, frugality, humility, etc. But it's all a lie. It's all a fraud because, as you well know, just because you own something grand doesn't mean you stole it. And just because you don't show anything doesn't mean you're not a crook. It was well known in New York for many years that some of the biggest crooks in the city never showed their wealth. They never displayed their wealth. They hid their wealth. Some of them, I heard, wallpapered their money to their walls in Bayside, Queens. They never showed their money. How many gangster movies have you gone to where the guy said, schmuck, don't buy a new Cadillac after you knocked off the Lufthansa thing, and he killed them because they were showing the wealth with the furs and the diamonds and the blah, blah, blah. So to me, what the hell is the difference if the guy has a bigger yacht? It's a matter of whether he's honest or not. Then they say that, naturally, it's a left-wing article. It's because the Republicans always have bigger boats than the Democrats, therefore they're no good. And they say both boats are swamped in the wake from Odalisque, Republican Tom Foley's 100-foot ship flagged under the Republic of Marshall Islands and hailing from the port of Bikini. Big deal. He didn't steal it from anybody. Or then they show that a lieutenant governor's wife has a Maserati Quattroporte, while the Republican has a 1993 Chevy pickup truck. What does this really mean? Does being rich mean that you're unqualified to understand what the average person is going through. And so what's interesting is Hearst, Connecticut newspapers gave 11 of the gubernatorial and U.S. Senate candidates a questionnaire. And they wanted to get insights into how they use their wealth. They want to know what cars they drive, how much they give to charity, where they vacation, what they spend on a haircut, what they spend on business attire, or where they like to go out and eat. Would you like to have the same questionnaire given to those in the news business? How'd you like that? I mean, what, you know, I looked at this and I said to myself, wait a minute, what does this have to do with anything? I started out with nothing and I have something now. I'm not a rich man, but I have something. So, I mean, what car do I drive? Let me give you an example. I went and started up my 65 Cadillac. I haven't driven it for over 6 months. It sits in a garage in a house I have, like a barn, up on a hill, and it's got a trickle charger on it at all time. I turn it over, it starts like the Woody Allen Volkswagen in a movie from the 1960s. The engine cranked over, this big 7-liter monster. Baroom. It stinks, I can't stand the smell, but the car rides like a baby carriage. Now, is that the car I drive every day, a 65 Caddy? No, I didn't drive it in 7 months. I drive a new Mercedes S600, the best car I ever owned. Should I be ashamed of my Mercedes? Why should I be ashamed of it? I didn't take it from you. What kind of boat do I have? Well, I could tell you I have a 22-foot boat. And you'd say, well, that's modest. I might want one, too. Then I could tell you I have a 63-foot yacht that I drive myself, too. Did I take it from you? No, I didn't take it from you. I earned it. It's my hobby. That's your business, too? I live in the United States of America. I'm not allowed to have what I earned or have to give it to you because you can't earn anything. I mean, these are very important questions. But I'm all over the map when you look at it. Okay, where do they vacation? Answer, nowhere. I hate travel. So what does that make me? Oh, now you're one of us because you don't vacation. Number two, how much do you spend on a haircut? Nothing. I don't get them. I usually look in the mirror like a convict with a scissor and cut the back of my head because I can't stand barbershops. I don't like the breath of the barber. I don't like the people in a barbershop. I can't get anyone to come to my house to cut my hair. I do it with a mirror and a scissor just as well. Number four, how much do you spend on business attire? Answer, none. I never wear a suit and tie. And if I do, you're not going to believe this one. In a million years, you won't believe it. From the period of my life prior to being on radio, which goes back over 16 years this March 20th, I had business suits from my previous life as a corporate consultant and a lecturer. You know what I did? I swear to God, 3 months ago, I was going to throw the suits out. I took them to a tailor and had them refit. Why? It's in my blood not to throw away good material. I told you when I was a kid, my father would make me wear dead man's pants because he didn't buy me new clothes. He bought it from the dead man. It's a famous story from Psychological Nudity. They cut him off at the knee and blah, 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 and I had to wear dead man's pants. But he taught me the value of a good piece of fabric. So when I was going to throw out a Hot Shaft Remarks suit, I said, how can I do this? It was against my will. I had it refit. Am I wearing it? No, I still don't wear it. But I know now, if I should die, I have a suit ready for me. So I don't spend anything on business clothing. Next question. Where do they like to go out and eat? Answer. I like takeout food. I prefer from a cheap Chinese and Japanese restaurant in my neighborhood. Under $10 a meal is my preference. Do I go to other restaurants? Yes, you've heard me talk about them. When I'm in the mood. But generally, I like to eat at home watching television. I'm in the media. I like to watch the news, or I like to watch the Science Channel, or Military History, or Discovery, so that I can learn something. I can't waste a spare minute, in other words, sitting in a restaurant. I can't take listening to other people. So I'm all over the map. I have a big boat, and I have a small boat. I have an old car. I have a new car. I have old clothes and no new clothes. I cut my own hair. And I go out to eat in a lunchbox in my kitchen. So what does that make me? It makes me me. So what in the world is the point of this story? No one's calling on this. It's amazing. You try something original and the lights don't go on. So I will go to something basic now. That already is too hard. You didn't hear about this on Fat Boy's show in the morning, so you can't talk about it. Here we go. Now, let's go back to what I'm talking about. Wealth. Does wealth necessitate evil? Does poverty necessitate goodness? I read a book when I was a young man trying to figure things out entitled The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed, written by the great Bertrand Russell. And it caught me off guard. What do you mean, the superior virtue of the oppressed? Well, he was being sarcastic. He was arguing, even though he was a socialist, he was a brilliant, brilliant mathematician and philosopher in some ways. Bertrand Russell was arguing that just because you're oppressed doesn't mean you have superior virtue. And just because you may be wealthy doesn't mean you have inferior virtue. Do you get understanding what I'm saying? But now we're living through a new ethos in America where wealth is automatically assumed to have been gotten illicitly or illegally. And in some cases, it is true. Just look at the Democrat Party. It's rife with the illegitimate. But it doesn't mean it's 100% true. So there it goes. What, a bigger boat means you're a bad guy, and no boat means you're a good guy. So by that definition, the beggar is the superior man. By that definition, the homeless person is the saint, and anyone who has a decent life and house is a bum. I don't buy it. Don't call me on it. Means nothing. If you earned it, spend it. It's your business. It's not the government's business to tell you how to spend your money. New York City, Junior on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking before, Michael, about being poor, people saying that if you own a boat, you're rich. And
right.
That is so untrue. My husband and I, we started out renting a boat where you went down to the fishing station and they towed you out and put you in a place called Rowboat Alley. And when you wanted to come in, you put your oar up and they pulled you back
right.
in. And then,
well, yeah, nobody would argue with you being rich when in a boat like that. But what if you have a 50-foot powerboat? Should you be denied the right to vote in America because suddenly the poverty is suddenly considered a virtue?
Oh, no, but what I'm just saying, that's how we started. And then we got we escalated up into a 24-foot cabin cruiser, and people said, oh, you're so rich. But what they didn't know is I shopped in bargain basements. I went to rummage sales. I went to the Jewish bazaars and bought the dry
food. But it's your business what you buy with your money. You didn't steal it from anybody. Who is the government to tell you that you shouldn't spend it any way you want? Where is it written that you not should buy a boat, not buy a car? What kind of society are we living in? Everyone should wear a blue uniform with a red star on it?
That's my point. Are people saying that you're rich because you have a boat? No, because you work hard for it? Why?
Well, what if you have a 160-foot boat, though? I mean, so what? Does that disqualify a man from running for office? Why should it?
Wait, but you work for it. Why? You're entitled to it.
No, it doesn't matter. What my point was is that poverty is not a virtue, and wealth is not necessarily a vice. You know, that's my point. Thanks for the call. Judge the person by how they got the money, not what they're spending it on. To a certain point, yes, how they spend it. Sure, you want to build ice sculptures with it for your son's bris is another story. You could say the guy's crazy.
Savage.
Hi, I'm Joan London. And if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Really? Yeah.
They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call or go online to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-467-7530, 800-467-7530.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer: Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Tim Tebow. Some of you might know me from playing football, but actually, I have a life outside of football, and I like to keep that life pretty simple. But it seems like life gets more complicated every single day. I mean, like TV. It's cable, satellite, the web. The choice is great, but it's absolutely chaotic. That's why I like Tebow. It brings everything together and makes it simple.
It's not just an ordinary DVR. It's like a magic box. It goes out and searches on cable, Hulu, and Amazon, and YouTube, Netflix, and it gets everything you like, and it brings it right to you. It can record 4 shows at once and lets you throw it right to your tablet or phone, so you can take your shows on the road anytime you want. But the best thing about TiVo, it makes it so easy to find the good stuff, and that's kind of a big deal. So that's why I decided to be their spokesman. Not just because the name sounds cool. TiVo makes TV about 1,000 times better.
Now available at TiVo.com, Best Buy, and Walmart.
Where were you when your identity thief robbed you? The airport Wi-Fi connection last week? The free wireless at your hotel? Or that mobile hotspot where you got coffee? When connecting to Wi-Fi through smartphones and laptops, you could be inviting identity thieves in, potentially handing over everything. Bank accounts, social security numbers, passwords, and basically saying, go ahead, destroy my credit and take over my bank accounts. LifeLock Ultimate is the only identity theft protection service that monitors for bank account takeover fraud. It's the line between panic and protection. Enjoy the peace of mind that comes from arming yourself with LifeLock Ultimate. Visit LifeLock.com or make the quick call today and mention Enroll 60 to get 60 days risk-free. If you're not happy, call LifeLock within 60 days of enrollment and you won't pay a cent. See LifeLock.com for details. Call 1-800-567-9916. 1-800-567-9916. 1-800-567-9916. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
The bill pay shuffle. You just did it. Can't pay this bill? Stall this bill. Pay this bill or else. Shuffling bills, loans, and working overtime are not your answer. Earning more money is. But you have so little time. IncomeAtHome55.com. With a computer and a bit of time and desire, you could be banking serious money from your kitchen table. No home sales parties and no pressure. IncomeAtHome55.com has been helping our listeners for over 10 years. So stop the bill pay shuffle. IncomeAtHome55.com. Listeners, here's an amazing way to earn quit your job money from home. IncomeAtHome55.com wants listeners who want to work from home.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs, and we're both at home full-time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. IncomeAtHome55.com. IncomeAtHome55.com. IncomeAtHome55.com.
Mike Huckabee.
You can't go and poke the eyes out of the other side every day and then walk in and say, oh, by the way, we really love you guys. We'd like to work with you.
On Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
When this song came out, I think I was in high school with a crew cut. I don't know what. Play it louder. I want to remember. I want a reminiscence.
The meaning of romance.
59 Chevy, maybe. Yeah, like around there. One of the guys I knew, I told you, became a famous rock and roll singer for 2 years. We were schlepping to high school, college. He was in Japan. He was 16 years old. Huge rock and roll hit. We were so jealous. Came back, had a Jaguar, like a 21-year-old girlfriend. Eventually, though, you know, he flashed out and he went to work for the post office in Woodstock, New York. There's nothing wrong with being a postman. No, I'm serious. You know, if you get it young, you usually don't have it your whole life. It's guys like me who struggled for 40 years who finally, you know, can enjoy the fruits of their success. You know, did you ever think about that? Would you rather have it young? What if God gave you a choice? You can't have it your whole life, okay? You're either going to struggle your whole life and have it when you're a little, when you're older, okay? Or you're going to have a tremendous burst of success when you're young, and then in middle age, you're going to basically have nothing. I mean, which one would you take? You know that you would go for the first one if you were young, because you don't think you don't think tomorrow's ever coming, right? So as I say, this friend of mine, I mean, that song reminded me of that. And that's how I got back to politics. When you are as political as I am, everything is political. I don't care if it's a bad Indian meal or a good Italian meal. I've been up all night, I swear to God. It's one of those weird nights where I thought I couldn't even go on the air today. I got mad. You know, I did a show at 7 in the morning, which for me is frightening. Then another at 10, then 11. I'm not used to this. Then the Indian buffet, and I went back to sleep and couldn't sleep. And here it is. I have more energy than ever. The thing is, though, is that you know when you're not functioning perfectly is when your memory starts to jump. And right now, truly, it's not like I have any trouble with memory. I never do. But because of the exhaustion of the last 6, 7, 8, 10 weeks, of the book and the election, my mind is a little on the memory side. I could just feel it's not firing as fast as it normally does, where I can make up jokes on the spot, create beautiful ideas, paint pictures with my words, incredible energy, and also have a great memory for almost all the facts and figures I want to remember. I really found it lacking just for one second. You'll have to forgive me. I don't know what my name is, nor do I know why I'm standing here with a microphone in my hand. Where am I, guys? Where exactly? What are we doing here? Right. Daisy, Daisy. Daisy, Daisy, my name is Hal. You remember that? That was one of the most startling scenes in the history of the movie. Do you remember that? Kubrick's 2001? Imagine how long ago that was. 2001. That was interesting. Wait a minute. Didn't we get hit on 9/11? But like 2001, right? Yeah, it was interesting. Anyway, but I remember when I first saw that movie, like 1970, I saw it in the Cinerama Theater in Honolulu. I couldn't believe that movie. You know that movie, 2001, when I saw it, I actually worked for my PhD because of that movie. I realized that he was projecting a future where all of the people who ran the world all had higher degrees. Do you know that? Of course, he wasn't correct. Take a look at who's on Fox News, symbol shot. But having said that, the fact is, the movie was quite influential. But do you remember when the HAL 2000, when he gets into the computer's brain and starts taking apart the memory chips and the computer talks to him? It was so eerie. It was so eerie. You know what I'm saying? The idea of your brain melting down like that was terrifying.
I honestly think you ought to sit down calmly, take a stress pill, and think things over.
Daisy. Daisy. Give me your answer, too. I'm half crazy. All for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a marriage.
You're listening to the sound of the Treasury Secretary as he prints more money. He has no idea what he is doing or what he's printing. It sounds like the sound of the Obama administration, actually. It sounds like it, doesn't it? I mean, the overall administration sounds like that when you think about it. I had a geometry teacher in high school. He had two fingers on his right hand. He was a tough guy. He was an Irishman and real tough, but a very good teacher. And the kind of teacher who made you come up to the blackboard and perform at the blackboard. And if you didn't, he ridiculed you. He didn't curse you out, but he called you a dummy. Basically, he says, now what's the matter with you today, Michael? Is your brain not functioning? That kind of thing. And believe me, you didn't want to wind up in front of that class not knowing your stuff because you didn't want to be humiliated in front of your peers called your classroom. Now today, they take every moron off the street, every idiot, every dumb dyslexic, every idiot who has one eye going up, one eye going down. He can't talk, he can't see, he can't hear. And they tell you he's smarter than you are. And if you dare be smarter than him, you go to the back of the class. But in those days, it was very clear. If you were smart, you were smart. If you were stupid, you were dumb. And that was the end of it. And no one changed anything. So to make a long, he had a left hand with five fingers and a right hand with two fingers. And the two fingers were stubs. And when he said to you, the midterm exams are back, he would read out every name and every score publicly. Now, why do you think he did it? Because he understood that by doing well, you were proud of yourself, and the kids looked up to you. And by doing poorly, you were ashamed of yourself, boys and girls, and you try to do better. But because the liberal perverts took over the schools, where they try to put perversion ahead of everything else, they have now taken dummies and try to make that better than the smarties. And consequently, the schools can't even teach Johnny how to add or read. And if Johnny's smart enough and he can't focus at all, they put him on Ritalin to dope him up and turn him into a sissy and a dumbbell who can't do anything except sit in a cubicle the rest of his life and possibly jump off a building when he's 25. Now, how Mr. W lost his fingers is another interesting story. We all knew about it very fast. I forget his full name. It was Mr. W. And it was whispered in the halls of the high school that he lost his fingers, and I'm not glorifying it, planting a bomb for the IRA. Now, I don't know whether it was true, but it was certainly enough to make us understand not to mess around with this teacher. And we didn't. We respected him. Whether it was true or not is irrelevant. That's who we had for teachers in those days.
Whether it's a serious fall, fire danger, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company, with its slogan, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up," protects its members. Here are some of them.
When you have a heart attack like I did, and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Now, Life Alert can also protect you in a fire emergency with a system that automatically notifies our monitoring center.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can avoid or delay going into a nursing facility. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-877-522-2215. That's 1-877-522-2215. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure at 1-877-522-2215.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you...
KSFO traffic. We're starting out in the Hayward area, 880 northbound at Washington Avenue there. We do have a three-car accident. One of those cars is facing the wrong way in the second lane. CHP telling us that all lanes right now are blocked to remove those vehicles off to the right-hand shoulder. And in Calistoga, Highway 29, about 2 miles outside of Calistoga, looks like we do have a car that hit a deer and is now all off onto the right-hand shoulder. KSFO weather, clear, crisp, and cold throughout the night. Lows will be from the upper 20s to the low 40s. Mostly sunny and cool for your New Year's Day. Highs will only be in the 50s. Right now, in the Bay Area, we do have San Jose with 47 degrees and clear skies. Right now in San Francisco, it's 49 degrees and some partly cloudy skies. With the news and the views you won't hear anywhere else, I'm Carolyn Burns, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Boy, am I glad to be done with my holiday shopping.
I know.
And now I just want to relax.
Me too. Except there's one more store we should check out.
No way!
Because this week we can get a Samsung, Panasonic, or LG TV at an incredible price.
Really? Where?
At Video Only's year-end clearance sale. They're really cutting deals.
Because of the economy?
Yep. So this is our chance to get what we wanted for Christmas.
Are the prices really that good?
For 7 days they are. And Video Only has those top-rated models we were thinking about on sale.
All right. The best stuff cheap is worth a trip.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or computers, but you will find the best deals on TVs, Blu-rays, cameras, and home theater systems. Shop around. Just make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
In Mountain View, San Mateo, Hayward, Dublin, and San Rafael, Video Only.
Hi, this is Bill.
And Kathleen.
Owners of American Vision Windows.
When Bill and I decided to have our windows replaced, we thought we'd found a reputable company to do the job. We had such a horrible experience, we decided to take action by starting American Vision Windows.
We've set out to revolutionize the window industry by building American Vision Windows on quality, integrity, and customer service. We put our name and reputation on the line to better serve homeowners like you.
Call American Vision Windows today and receive a limited time offer this month only. Free installation plus a free upgrade to triple pane windows when you call now. 888-475-6464. Call for details.
At American Vision Windows, you get the highest quality product combined with professional installation and unmatched customer service. Something no one else is offering.
Call American Vision Windows at 888-475-6464. That's 888-475-6464.
Our windows have a story to tell. Shouldn't yours? Revolutionizing the home improvement industry, one customer at a time. American Vision Windows.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-613-0634, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-613-0634. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-613-0634. That's 1-800-613-0634.
We don't keep our opinions to ourselves, and neither should you. On the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
I never picked him out. He picked me out.
They trained for 8 hours a day. That's the only person the dog knew.
Their smell and hearing is so acute.
I couldn't imagine going into a jungle without a dog.
I know they were close before they ever got there.
But oh my God, they're shooting their bullets.
They saved hundreds of lives, including mine.
There isn't a day that goes by that I don't think of that dog.
All right, so one of my favorite channels is military history, or the history channels in general, or National Geographic. I stumbled upon War Dogs of the Pacific documentary story of the Marine dog platoons of World War II. And they show these men, the Marines, they must be in their 80s when they were interviewed for this, or older. And these are the men who saved us from Hitler. These are the men without whom we would be speaking German or we'd be lampshades. These are the men who, when you look at them, I mean, they bring tears to your eyes. And then they flash back to these men in Saipan when they were in their 20s. You see the young man and the old man. And when they were young men, they were dog handlers. And the dogs were largely either, what were they, Doberman Pinschers or German Shepherds. And the interesting part was is that they were given to these men by ordinary American citizens, and they were trained to kill. They were trained to hunt out Japanese in the jungles. And you look at the tales of devotion and bravery and sacrifice by the dog handlers themselves and the dogs, and the bond between the men and the dogs from Saipan, Okinawa, and Iwo Jima. These are the best, and just the best men America has ever seen. And we still have many of them, believe me, in the military. Best men in the world. And that's why I supported them when Bush permitted them to be hung out and dried with false court martials. Some of them are still hanging out there. I gave my own money. Many of you contributed money to Colonel Chesani's cause because Bush could have pardoned them. He never did. Instead, he pardoned drug dealers and other criminals. It's unbelievable what these two administrations have done to our military. So when I look back, when I watch these documentaries of World War II, and I see the faces, these are ordinary Americans fighting the hardest kind of fight there is, you know, hand-to-hand combat, smoking out the Japanese in caves, also very hard men. And you reach a point where you see the dogs. Now, these guys are now doing jungle fighting. They're afraid of snipers, Japanese snipers. A man's senses can only see and hear and smell so far. But a dog's senses are hundreds of times greater, obviously. So a dog is, I think, 400 times greater sense of scent than a man. Never mind the hearing, okay? So they're in the jungle now. They're creeping along, hoping they don't get killed from a Japanese sniper, let us say, on Okinawa or Iwo Jima or Saipan. And they need a dog. So they got the dogs now. The dogs now are let go, and the dogs go ahead of them. The dog can hear a Japanese sniper in a tree 100 yards away. So they knock him out of the tree. Many, many American men were able to live, come home, contribute to society, create a family because of the dogs. They saved many lives in the Pacific. And if you watch this, and then you see that the Japanese learn that the dogs were real threats to them, they started shooting the dogs first. And then they flash back to one of the older gentlemen who was a Marine in one of these theaters of operation. And he says, after they shot one of our dogs, we really got mad. And you see the grit come out in this guy. And, you know, when he says we really got mad. But then you see other scenes in there that are going to rip your guts out. For example, one of the dog handlers, remember, these dogs were trained to kill, number one. They were ordinary dogs from households, voluntarily given to the military. They were trained to attack and kill by military dog handlers. They had to be trained to kill. So now they're trained to kill. They're brought out into the islands to help fight the Japanese in World War II. And so they're also trained to kill anyone who tries to hurt their handler. Talk about, you know, loyalty. They show one of the handlers getting shot. The Marine medic goes in to treat him. The dog lets the medic treat the handler. When the man dies, the dog suddenly becomes atavistic, growls, snaps, and threatens the Americans who want to come near the dead body. You look at a thing like this, and, you know, you have to understand, you have to own a dog to understand what this scene is. That the dog, trained to protect that man, will protect that man's corpse with his life. It's unbelievable. Then you see men whose dogs get killed who go to pieces. You see men feeding the dogs the last of their own rations. You see men giving the dog the last bit of food that they have. The dog becomes the last thing they have that they love in the world, in the middle of the hell that they were put. Then you see scenes of men who go to pieces. There was one scene in passing. I had seen something like this once before in my life, of men who break down in combat. I saw this before. I may have seen it in passing in some of the in documentaries. But there was one scene that was astounding. Now, you're talking about the hardest men who were sent out into these island fights, hand-to-hand combat, the most horrendous, gut-tearing stuff you could ever imagine. We can only imagine what these men had to live through. I don't know if men could do this anymore. I really don't know if anyone could do it in the America of today. I truly don't know if they could do this anymore. I wonder if there are men left that could do this or they're all locked up in Pelican Bay. I'm not sure anymore. I watched this show, and you see a man who broke down from the combat, from the ugliness, from the horror of the blood and the guts and the killing and the murder. And he's crying like a baby, sucking his thumb. It's unbelievable to see this in the middle of this. And another Marine is holding him with his arm around him. And he's sitting there crying and shuddering like a baby, sucking his own thumb. He had a total crack up in the midst of this ugly, horrendous combat. Now, this was in passing. But, you know, we're talking about something else, which is the dog thing, the war dogs of the Pacific. But I'm bringing that up as a side note. Okay, so now the war ends. The Army shoots their dogs. You hear this? The Army decides that all the dogs that fought so loyally in World War II should be killed. They shoot all the dogs that they used. The Marines refused to go along with the program. In other words, in those days, they would not be lobotomized. The Marines said, go to hell, we're not shooting our dogs, we'll shoot you first. So the Marines said, we're not shooting them. We're not going to go along with the Obama program of the day, in other words, just because Big Brother told us to. We'll shoot you first. We're not killing our dogs. They were our best friend. They kept us alive, dropped dead. So the Marine Corps backs up. The fat asses back home who decided to shoot the dogs suddenly, the fat asses back in Camp Lejeune who never fought, suddenly get frightened of the Marines and say, all right, we won't kill the dogs. Meanwhile, they have 540 killer dogs in their hands, and they don't know what to do with them. So you know what the men say? We will retrain them to become domesticated again. And they work 12, 15 hours a day, and they do teach old dogs new tricks, and they retrain them to be able to integrate back with families. So out of the 540 or so dogs that fought with the men in the Pacific who were killers, trained to kill, only four had to be euthanized. It's a story that is astounding, and I would highly recommend that you try to catch War Dogs of the Pacific on the Military History Channel when it's replayed, and I don't know when it'll be replayed. The historical footage and never-before-seen photos are astounding, and it was done by a director named Harris Dunn, who was a graduate of the USC School of Cinema, and he earned a degree in film production. But he did, thrillers such as, family comedies, Bonjour, Buddy. But this feature documentary directing debut with War Dogs of the Pacific about the Marine War dog handlers of World War II is astounding. Any dog lover should watch this, and it'll give you a new appreciation for not only the intelligence of dogs, the loyalty of dogs, but the devotion and the bravery and sacrifice of the United States Marine Corps. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar.
Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get six free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6-door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
One little joint supplement. You know this powerful little pill is great for your joints, it's great for your cartilage, it even has powerful benefits to help increase your mobility and flexibility. But the joint supplements of today are sadly incomplete because they don't start relieving joint discomfort immediately. Until now. Introducing the complimentary 2-week sample of fast-acting Instaflex, our most powerful joint formula ever. It can start relieving joint discomfort in just a few days. The only thing our complimentary sample of Instaflex is missing is the price. Because right now, we're offering adults a complimentary 2-week sample as part of a nationwide giveaway. Call and claim your sample today. 1-800-946-9745. Great for your knees, hands, even your hips. Fast-acting Instaflex can start relieving joint discomfort in just a few days. Instaflex is available at GNC, Rite Aid Pharmacies, and Vitamin World, where you can only get your complimentary 2-week sample by calling 1-800-946-9745. Call now for your 2-week Instaflex sample. 1-800-946-9745.
Brian Sussman and Melanie Morgan.
This is all about seizing the moment, taking advantage of a tragedy, and putting forward legislation to modify the Second Amendment.
Can we wait until the babies' bodies are buried before we even go into the politics of it?
I can just see these liberals coming forward saying, well, nope, government's the solution. This is our opportunity. Take advantage of it. Barack Obama, you go out there and hammer it home time and time again that something's got to be done.
Weekday mornings at 5 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
If you're being audited by the IRS or state, you may not know that you have a serious problem. Auditors are more relentless than ever in demanding taxes that you might not owe. You need a tax attorney who's aggressive, accessible, and experienced.
I'm tax attorney Steve Moskowitz. My tax law firm, Moskowitz LLP, has a proven track record in representing people involved in an audit. Our team of tax attorneys and CPAs have been resolving tax problems for over 30 years, and we will vigorously defend you and your business. In an audit, you're going up against an authority that's expertly trained to investigate, collect, and prosecute. Call Moskowitz LLP instead of the government.
Nothing replaces real experience when dealing with the IRS or state. Call Moskowitz LLP, a tax law firm, at 888-TAX-DEAL. That's 888-TAX-DEAL. 888-TAX-DEAL.
Jerry Reynolds, the Car Pro.
I try to give you what I think is going to be the best resale value, but I also am basing my opinion on historical facts. And some cars actually hold their value very well, while others have historically horrible resale value. Now, when you go to buy a used car, you want something with lousy resale because you're going to save a bunch of money.
Ask your question this weekend on the Car Pro Show. Go to carprousa.com.
Listen to the Car Pro Show Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
This year, make 2013 the new you year with Ovation Cell Therapy. Guaranteed to restore your hair's natural beauty, Ovation Cell Therapy can help repair dry, brittle, damaged hair caused by harsh chemicals and heat styling.
Ovation Cell Therapy can dramatically reduce breakage and help repair split ends, even helping to repair the damage caused from hair extensions. With Ovation Cell Therapy, your hair can be thicker, stronger, longer, and healthy again, guaranteed.
My Ovation experience has been great. My hair was terribly damaged and overprocessed, but now my hair looks and feels healthier. I love you guys.
Join the hundreds of thousands of Ovation Nation customers who take the time to write their personal testimonials. If Ovation didn't help their hair look and feel thicker, stronger, and longer, why would they?
If you didn't get your gift of Ovation Cell Therapy for the holidays, hurry and log on to ovationhair.com and enter KSFO at checkout for a very special introductory discount. For thicker, stronger, longer hair, log on to ovationhair.com and enter KSFO at checkout for your special savings.
Conservative, and not mad about it.
Join the discussion with Governor Mike Huckabee, weekdays 9 till noon on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Let's go to Washington, D.C. Jay, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, I've been waiting for somebody to talk about this subject a long time. Actually, one of the Marines that was instrumental in keeping those dogs from being killed was a gentleman named Colonel William Putney. Putney has a book you can read. It's called, of all things, it's called Semper Fi. It's about the third War Dog Company, and it discusses those many subjects that you've just gone over.
But he stood up to the Marine Corps brass and said, we're not killing them, I guess. That's what he had to do.
Correct. And his men loved him. All those families that got him. He was alive up until about 4 years ago and passed away. But that.
Yeah, well, there goes the last, where are they today?
He would have been outed. I mean, he would have never been... Would have never been on the admiral staff or flag officer back then. But this Colonel Putney, as far as I'm concerned, he should have got the Medal of Honor. But read that book, Semper Fi. And the one thing I
let me ask you, Jay, where is the dog cemetery that I saw at the end of the documentary? They apparently have a cemetery of these dogs somewhere. Where is that?
Oh boy, that's a good question. I couldn't believe it.
It was an actual war memorial cemetery for these heroic dogs. It was unbelievable. Thank you for the call. Here we have a caller who says he knew Colonel Putney. Steve, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I knew Dr. Putney. Guam was where they have the statue.
In Guam, that's where the dogs' cemetery is.
Cemetery there. I met Dr. Savage Dr. Putney, when I was like 23 years old, he was 50 years old. We were the best of friends. We used to play golf together once a week.
What did he tell you about the whole dog program, Steve, that you could share with the audience today?
You know what? We became such good friends. I used to go. He had a dog kennel down in, Canoga Park that I used to go down with him all the time.
And this was after the war, of course.
We're talking 1973, 74.
So what I'm hearing is he continued his love for dogs into the latter part of his life, long after the war.
I think he passed away about 4 years ago. Yeah, he was a veterinarian when he passed away about 4 years ago.
Oh, he was a vet. The colonel was a veteran?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, was a veterinarian? The vet was a veterinarian.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, big time. He talked to
me. And Steve, did he tell you any stories of the war that would be worth sharing right now?
Yes. He says, when we're out in the walking around in the bushes and everything else and leading dogs, he wasn't so much the leader because he was the lieutenant. I think he went up to, captain or, I don't remember, but...
That's okay. I'm going to tell. Thank you very much for that sharing. Now he brought back a memory from the documentary. Let me throw one more piece in. After the men had shown how good these dogs were in combat, they were rewarded with another stripe. They were moved up the ranks. And then the commander said to them, but because you've moved up from corporal, you can no longer be a dog handler because that's for a lower ranked man. The men, almost to a man, ripped the stripe off their body and said, we'd rather remain a corporal in order to stay with our dogs. No, thank you. You can keep your stripe.
Welcome back, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America and all the ships at sea. Let's go to press. I don't care if you're in light air, light breeze, gentle breeze, moderate breeze, fresh breeze, strong breeze, near gale, gale, strong gale, storm, violent storm, or hurricane. Wherever you are on the Beaufort scale, you're welcome on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Son. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Savage. There's a real easy way to kill those flies on your sailboat. If you blow on them lightly, since they're used to being on the ocean, and when the wind blows, they tend to cling on to you. You blow on them lightly, you can swat them in no problem.
Wait, say that again. You blow on them lightly, and what, they get stupefied from the halitosis?
Yeah, it's a laser reaction. No, not from the halitosis. They're just used to being on the windy ocean, so when you blow on them, they cling on so they don't get blown away. And
oh, like if they've alighted on your dashboard, so you blow on them so they stick to it to figure they're going to be blown off, and then you swat them?
Absolutely.
I'm not a sailor. I admire people who know how to sail. I don't like particularly dodging them on the weekend in San Francisco Bay because they won't vary their course by 1 degree. But they'd rather have a head-on collision than change 1 degree. You have a powerboat, so I don't have to move, you schmuck. Meanwhile, you all have a collision. You never saw such arrogance, the sailors. I'm a very defensive boat driver. I usually divert. I'll move. But you should see the idiots in the sailboats. I have a sailboat, and I have the right of way, and I don't care if we kill everybody. I'm not changing course by one iota, not 1 degree off, not 2 degrees. I'm staying on my course, you schmucks, you. I never saw such stupidity as I see in sailors on the bay. New York Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Joe?
I'd like to ask you about organized religion. I know that you believe in moral absolutes, and I'm not sure if this is what you mean when you say that you don't believe in organized religion. But like David Skolansky said, who was a famous poker player, he said, if there's 100 religions in the world, 99 have to be wrong. Is that what you mean when you say you don't believe in organized religion?
Well, I've heard something like that before from someone, which is that all the religions can't be right if they all say that only their God is the only way. I understand that. But I would say that that's a distortion of man's view of God rather than a distortion of God himself.
Well, to that I would say, why would the superior being be condescending to the inferior being? Why not would he require it the other way around?
What do you mean by condescending? In what manner?
He's asking the inferior being, which is man, he's pandering to him rather than saying be like me, he's saying I'll be like you.
I really can't follow you. I really don't know what you I mean, I understand that you're a smart guy and you're an atheist. And you want to convince me that atheism is the clever way to follow, but get back to me after you have cancer. I mean, God forbid. Tell me if you're still an atheist.
I love your show. I really do.
Okay. I'm joking. Look, I pray to God you don't get it, but, you know, you never had a bad night where you prayed to God?
No, I pray to God all the time, and that's why I'm asking you. I see cognitive dissonance in your reasoning, where you do believe...
No, okay. No, I'm being facetious, and I don't mean to be nasty, but... I didn't know where you were coming from. You sound like a lawyer I know who I don't particularly like right now. You have the same voice, so forgive me. I was reacting as though it was him. So let's start from the top. Let me give you my religious view. Years ago, I read a book where a religious man wrote a book. It was a popular book. And he said that he doesn't believe God is omnipotent, just omnipresent. And that if he believed God was omnipotent, he would give up his all religion immediately. That made more sense to me than anything. What does he mean by God is not omnipotent? Meaning God cannot control minutiae on the planet, meaning every little act of every little man, every little animal, right? But God is ever-present. God is everywhere, but God does not control everyone's motions and every act. And that made sense to me. Does that make sense to you?
Because of my religious beliefs, I have to disagree with that. I do believe in God's sovereignty over even man's free will.
Okay, hold on. This is very interesting. So if a man is walking down the street and he's crossing the street with his three daughters and a car strikes them in the crosswalk and two of his daughters are killed but he is not and one daughter is maimed, that's God's will?
I would say that's God's will, and I already know where you're going with this. How can God punish innocent children?
No.
I would say,
how about in Connecticut? You're telling me that 11-year-old girl deserves to be raped and set on fire by those two animals? That was their just dessert for what? What did they do?
I don't know what they did. I am not omnipresent, as you said before, like God.
So you mean she committed a crime worse than, let's say, a mass murderer who's been protected by the liberals for 30 years on death row? So she should have been punished immediately, but the guy on death row who actually raped and murdered a 15-year-old who's been protected for 30 years, he shouldn't be punished immediately.
No, These are things that I can't explain. I can't explain the higher mind of God, the modes of his reasoning.
Okay, so what I'm saying to you is this book that I read, the book was called Peace of Mind, and he was trying to describe the highest state that man can achieve in an ordinary man's life. The highest state you can achieve is peace of mind without medication, right? Mayor Lee opposes shark fin soup ban. See what's important here in San Francisco? We have a new mayor, Mayor Lee. The other one went to, you know, the Peter Principle. He was so incompetent as a mayor, he became lieutenant governor. That's the Peter Principle. That's what Gavin Newsom got lost in cyberspace in Sacramento. No one's heard from him since. So the congenial Eddie Newsom went to Sacramento where he belongs. Now we have a Mayor Lee who no one ever heard of, a mild man who likes shark fin soup. And people want to ban shark fin soup because they're killing sharks. It's horrible what these animals are doing. They're catching sharks, cutting their fins off, and throwing the shark back into the sea. Unbelievable barbarism. Total barbarism.
Savage.